you love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
I expected it to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right?
So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to maketheconnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio. Dr. Farrell in Palisadro is now making dental work more affordable by offering a Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership. The Dental Discount Savings Plan is simple, straightforward, and includes 20% off all treatment, such as emergency limited exams, restorative work, fillings, crowns, partials, bridges, dentures, and periodontal treatment, a comprehensive exam, oral cancer screening, a TMJ exam, a periodic exam, and two sets of x-rays, along with cleaning and two fluoride treatments. The program is a discount plan, not a dental insurance plan, and is only available at the office of Dr. Farrell. The Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership provides immediate eligibility. No yearly maximum, no deductibles, no claims to submit, no limitations for pre-existing treatment, and no waiting periods. Children on the plan must be 15 years or younger. Some restrictions apply. Membership prices may vary. Contact Dr. Farrell, located at 9461 Deschutes Road, Suite 2 in Palisadro. Call 547-57 to make an appointment today. That's 547-5757.
For many people, their faith, their family, and their health are the most important things in their lives. Every day, the work that I do influences these things. Children go to college, couples move into their first home, people retire, businesses start, and charities are supported. All of this in part because of the work I do. I can make complicated things clearer so people understand them. I can solve problems and find solutions. People need someone to put their interests first. And for many people, I am that someone. I can lend an ear, stand with you during life's ups and downs, and provide that advice at just the right time. That's why I love my job. That's why I'm a financial advisor, Susan Eastman, with Wells Fargo Advisors in Redding, California, 243-7561. Once again, this is Susan Eastman with Wells Fargo Advisors. I'd love to be your financial advisor. Please give me a call at 243-7561.
I'm Lee Hull.
And I'm Lee Esses.
And we co-host Writing Roots.
It's a 10-minute podcast in which we, an author,
and her editor,
cover lessons we've learned about the writing process.
This podcast is for storytellers of all kinds. We discuss everything from the hero's journey to how to slog through that pesky middle section of your book. From filling out your author's toolbox to answering your questions about the craft and the industry. From magic to mayhem.
Our August series is called Diagnosis Writer. Each episode, we're taking a close look at identifying common but difficult problems and pinning down their solutions. September spotlights designing interesting characters with interesting skill sets.
So whether you're an experienced storyteller or still working on that first book,
now is the time to check us out.
Writing Roots is available on iTunes, Spotify, and anywhere you find your podcasts. And don't forget to always
write selfishly.
Is at heart a good and noble one. We live in a better and nobler country today because of John Lewis and his abiding faith in the power of God, in the power of democracy, and in the power of love to lift us all to a higher ground.
Yeah, I mean, that's wonderful. It's a wonderful thing to say. And that is why you saw so many people paying tribute to Bush. Now, remember, Bush was the villain until 5 seconds ago. As soon as a Republican is not in power, the Republican becomes, yeah, just a normal, nice guy that we all hang out with. When he's in power, he's super, duper, duper evil. Well, Bill Clinton also spoke at the memorial event. And Bill Clinton was slightly more political than Bush. He talked about sort of the continuing mission of John Lewis. John Lewis had a posthumous obituary that was published in the Washington Post in which he talked about the continuing mission, and he name-checked a bunch of people who were supposedly victims of the police, including a couple people like Rayshard Brooks, who was not a victim of the police. In any case, Clinton invoked sort of John Lewis's politics in a vague sense going forward, which, again, if you're vague about it, is not unfair. He also invoked the differences between Stokely Carmichael and John Lewis. Stokely Carmichael, of course, was significantly more an advocate of violence than John Lewis, who's very much into nonviolence. Bill Clinton did this. He got ripped up and down for it.
Just 3 years later, he lost the leadership of SNCC to Stokely Carmichael. He showed as a young man, there are some things that you cannot do to hang on to a position, because if you do them, you won't be who you are anymore. There were two or three years there where the movement went a little bit too far towards Stokely, but in the end, John Lewis prevailed.
Okay, and that's actually a good point, but people on the left were very angry at Bill Clinton for having said this, because right now we're seeing violence in our streets, and that's Bill Clinton basically slapping at the violence in the streets. That's him saying that John Lewis would not have been in favor of the violence in the streets, but we've been seeing the rioting and the looting, which he is right about. He got slapped by a columnist over at The Root for this, saying, why are you invoking Stokely Carmichael here? Again, there's a rationale for it. But the real politicization was reserved for Barack Obama, who got extraordinarily political. And it is a reminder of why Donald Trump is president, because Barack Obama is a much more elegant speaker. He's a much more subtle person than Donald Trump. Donald Trump is just the very loud, and he's the checkered suit version of Barack Obama. Right? Barack Obama was a used car salesman in a really nice suit, and Donald Trump is a used car salesman in a checkered plaid suit. That is the main difference between them, because Barack Obama is purely political. He is a political animal. He will say purely, openly political things that are bizarre and over the top and really kind of crazy. And he'll do it at a memorial service. And then the media will praise him as a statesman. And Donald Trump is like, okay, just get rid of the statesman and I'll just say all this stuff out loud. And I'll say the quiet part out loud. The truth is that Barack Obama got all the plaudits for being a master of subtlety. He never was particularly subtle, right? He's more subtle than Trump, but that's because literally all the things are more subtle than Trump. All Trump is you strip off the veneer of Barack Obama, and the overt politicization of all the things, they're kind of the same. They're kind of the same. We'll get to that in just 1 second. First, everybody needs a great pair of wireless earbuds. You already know Raycon earbuds start about half the price of any other premium wireless earbuds on the market, and they sound just as amazing as the other top audio brands you know. Their newest model, the Everyday E25 earbuds, those are the best ones yet. 6 hours of playtime, seamless Bluetooth pairing, more bass, a more compact design that gives you that nice noise-isolating fit. Raycon's wireless earbuds, they're incredibly comfortable. They're perfect for conference calls, video chats, binging podcasts. Unlike some of your other wireless options, Raycon earbuds are both stylish and discreet, no dangling wires, and no stems. Get 15% off your order at buyraycon.com/Ben. That's BuyRayCon.com/Ben. Buyraycon.com/Ben for 15% off Raycon wireless earbuds. It's buyraycon.com/Ben. One of the things I love about my Raycons, they fit my ear exactly right. They're not one size fits all. Instead, they come with a variety of fits. They come with in a variety of colors, so I can really customize to my heart's content. Go check out Raycon right now. Buyraycon.com/Ben. That is BuyRayCon.com/Ben. Get 15% off Raycon wireless earbuds at buyraycon.com/Ben. So Barack Obama gets up at John Lewis's memorial, and in the process, he slams federal agents and compares them to George Wallace. And I'm sorry, this is incredibly ugly stuff. The idea that federal agents today are the same as Jim Crow, Bull Connor, racist police officers in 1960 Selma is patently insane. It's crazy. Again, what you're watching in America's major cities where federal agents are defending federal property from mostly white rioters and looters, by the way, who are attempting to set buildings on fire. That's nuts. But this is, Barack Obama was a demagogue, and never forget that Barack Obama was a demagogue. I know that we're supposed to pretend that Donald Trump is the first demagogue in American history. I know we're supposed to pretend that all of political time space began with the Big Bang that was Donald Trump. It is not true. Donald Trump was a direct response to the malicious manipulation of Barack Obama. Barack Obama was a terrible president. He was a terrible, divisive president, and the media gaslit you about that. The media pretended that he was a unifying force. The media would cherry pick his speeches, the parts where he would talk about, we're not a red America, we're blue America, we're United States of America. And then they'd ignore all the crap where he suggested that we absolutely were not united, that racism is in America's DNA. They would ignore the parts where he basically winked and nodded at rioting in Ferguson and Baltimore. They just ignore that. I mean, what you're about to hear him say, again, at the memorial for a dead man, right, a man who united the country around principles that at the time were extraordinarily controversial, but became the culture, right? This was the counterculture, it became the culture, thank God, a culture of racial tolerance and racial understanding and a belief in Martin Luther King's dream. And here's Barack Obama pretending there's no difference between Bull Connor police officers shooting fire hoses at John Lewis in 1960 and federal officers attempting to fight rioting and looting in America's major cities in 2020, 60 years later. And this is demagoguery of the highest order. Here's Barack Obama being a demagogue.
Bull Connor may be gone, but today we witness with our own eyes police officers kneeling on the necks of black Americans. George Wallace may be gone, but we can witness our federal government sending agents to use tear gas and batons against peaceful demonstrators.
Okay, this is such it truly is demagoguery. It is unrelated to reality. Even the notion that Bull Connor is gone, but Derek Chauvin still exists. There is no evidence at this point that Derek Chauvin knelt on George Floyd's neck out of racial animus. There isn't. Okay, that evidence may come, but that evidence does not exist. There's not a single person who agrees that what Derek Chauvin did was good, decent, justified, or non-jailable. No one. Okay, but to draw a direct line between Bull Connor and Derek Chauvin without any evidence whatsoever, or to pretend it was commonplace and not only commonplace, but enshrined in Jim Crow law, is similar in any way to what happened with Derek Chauvin is utterly, patently crazy. Okay, but Obama gets away with this kind of stuff because the media have decided for years that they are simply going to carry around drool cups for the guy. It's amazing. It's amazing. Then Obama called he went after the Senate filibuster. Again, this is at a memorial for a man who just died and spent his life attempting to unify the nation around racial issues. Here is Barack Obama saying that the Senate filibuster is a Jim Crow holdover. Which is pretty incredible because I'm old enough to remember when Barack Obama, Senator Barack Obama, filibustered Samuel Alito for the Supreme Court, tried to filibuster him. I'm old enough to remember when Democrats, like 5 seconds ago, filibustered Senator Tim Scott's police reform bill. Was that a Jim Crow vestige? By essentially saying that the filibuster is racist, this does give the lie to the idea that Democrats don't want to tear down the system. Now, in a bit, we're going to get to Donald Trump saying something about delaying elections that really does tear away at the roots of the democracy. But to pretend that Democrats are not doing the same thing and haven't been doing the same thing for a long time is to cut against all available evidence. Here's Barack Obama suggesting that the Senate filibuster is a tool of Jim Crow, despite the fact that he himself used the filibuster when he was in the Senate. And Democrats have been very fond of the filibuster. They were using it against George W. Bush's judicial nominees. Here's Barack Obama, again, demagoguing that Donald Trump is president because everybody decided that Barack Obama speaking this way was completely apolitical. Here he was calling the filibuster Jim Crow.
Once we pass the John Lewis Voting Rights Act, we should keep marching by guaranteeing that every American citizen has equal representation in our government, including the American citizens who live in Washington, D.C. and in Puerto Rico. And if all this takes eliminating the filibuster, another Jim Crow relic, in order to secure the God-given rights of every American, then that's what we should do.
Okay, this is such cynical bullshit. I'm sorry, it is. It's incredibly cynical. It's unbelievably cynical. This is a man who's happy to use the filibuster when it was in his own benefit, and who's anti-filibuster when it's not in his benefit. And this is something I do talk about in my book, How to Destroy America in 3 Easy Steps. One of the goals of the Constitution and many of the Senate procedures is to create checks and balances. Why? Because America's rights are preserved through checks and balances. The idea is that a government that is unable to stomp on those rights at will not be able to stomp on those rights at will. The idea is that when you set up these checks and balances, it prevents a pure majority, the tyranny of the mob, the tyranny of the majority, from stomping on the rights of the minority. And for all the people who are like, well, yeah, but, you know, in the South, a pure majority was able to stomp on the rights of the minority. That's exactly the point. The point is there should have been more checks and balances. The federal government should have stepped in and stopped the trampling of rights in the states. The filibuster is simply a tool to prevent the trampling of minority rights by majorities. That is one of the goals of the filibuster. Now, that doesn't mean there aren't times when the filibuster can't be used for nefarious purposes. The Civil Rights Act was filibustered by Strom Thurmond. But it is also true that there are many procedures that are written into the Constitution with the direct intent of making sure that there has to be a broad spectrum support for particular policy before it goes into law. One of the points of the filibuster is to create exactly the sorts of checks and balances on pure majoritarianism that allow for the destruction of individual American rights. And here's the point. When it comes to Democrats, very often when they talk about institutions, they don't care about the institutions. The institutions are either a barrier or a weapon. So the filibuster is sometimes a weapon. That's when it's good. And then when it's not good, then they get rid of it. I mean, Barack Obama within 5 minutes will be arguing that the Senate itself should be done away with because the Senate, as it turns out, is actually non-representational. Coming up, President Obama didn't just stop at politicizing John Lewis's death by going after cops. He also says that people are trying to stop black people from voting. That ain't true. He said it anyway. The Ben Shapiro Show.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
America, your children have an amazing superpower. That's right. They can help save lives by simply washing their hands. Just 20 seconds of thorough hand washing after they've coughed or sneezed or been outside can help fight against the dastardly spread of germs. Armed with only soap and water and hands, your superhero can protect you, your family, and everyone out there in America land. Amazing! Find out more at coronavirus.gov. A message from the CDC and the Ad Council.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
If your idea of a big, bold summer is hanging out around the backyard barbecue, I've got a snack that will fit right in. Southern Recipe Small Batch Pork Rinds. Yep, it's a bold-flavored snack that's more craveable than potato chips and the perfect low-carb alternative to breadcrumbs in your favorite recipe. You gotta try the Korean Kimchi Barbecue, Spicy Dill, Pasilla Chili Cheese, and Blackberry Habanero Pork Rinds. This summer, start your own flavor adventure by downloading our coupon and finding new recipes at porkrinds.com. That's porkrinds.com.
In uncertain times, you can be certain of this. The Salvation Army is serving those most in need with help and hope. Thanks to your donations, the Salvation Army is helping those affected by COVID-19, those who've lost wages, who have no home to retreat to, who need food, help with utilities, and most of all, hope. To see how you can continue to make a difference, visit givewestwood.org, givewestwood.org.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. So Barack Obama never misses an opportunity to use somebody's death in order to promulgate political points. President Obama didn't just stop at calling for the overthrow of the filibuster and suggesting that today's police and federal agents are in league with George Wallace and Bull Connor. He then suggested that there is a wide variety of attempts to stop the vote. Again, there is no evidence of this. The idea of widespread voter suppression in the United States is nonsense. It is nonsense. It's nonsense when Donald Trump says it. It is nonsense when Barack Obama says it. It is nonsense. The black population of the United States, thank God, votes in heavy numbers, and in the last several election cycles, and certainly when Barack Obama was elected in both 2008 and 2012, outvoted their share of the population. But Barack Obama is fully on board with the Stacey Abrams lie that black people are systematically being prevented from the vote, which is, it is a lie. There is no evidence that this is the case, that there are people out there who are like, black people shouldn't vote. Here is Barack Obama suggesting that some people's like, but I shouldn't go so political at a memorial. But guess what? Standards don't apply to me. I'm going to say, whatever I please. I'm just going to make crap up. Let's go.
There are those in power who are doing their darndest to discourage people from voting by closing polling locations and targeting minorities and students with restrictive ID laws and attacking our voting rights with surgical precision. Now, I know this is a celebration of John's life. There are some who might say we shouldn't dwell on such things. But that's why I'm talking about it.
Well, you know, there's some who say that stopping black people from voting ain't a problem. But I'm going to talk about it anyway. No one's saying you can't talk about it. But you are lying. The notion that black people in America are being systematically deprived of the vote is just not true. It is not true. Okay? Show me the evidence. And don't give me voter ID. Okay, voter ID is not an attempt to stop people from voting. Voter ID is a fine idea approved by the way, in every poll, a majority of nearly every demographic group, including black folks, as far as I'm aware. But Barack Obama is this is how you got Donald Trump. You guys want to know how you got Donald Trump? You gaslit the entire American population. He suggested over and over that this man was the epitome of class, that he was above politics, that he was some sort of godlike figure from on high. He is just a typical Chicago-style machine politician. He always was. And here he was using a memorial service for a man whose politics I disagreed with in many ways, but who did do incredible good for the United States. And instead of just paying tribute to him in a classy way, the way George W. Bush did, Barack Obama got up there and suggested that America is living with the vestiges of Jim Crow and Bull Connor. He suggested that America is dominated by neo-segregationists and people attempting to stop black people from voting. He was a deeply divisive president. The divisions on race in this country did not start with Donald Trump. Look back at the polls. Divisions on race in this country began in 2009 with Barack Obama getting overtly racially political. You can look at the polls. Hopes for racial reconciliation in this country were never higher than when Barack Obama was elected. And within 2 years of his election, they'd completely cratered. And they continue to crater today. It was an ugly spectacle. I'm old enough to remember when Barack Obama went out there during the Ferguson rioting and said, people don't make up things like this. He was talking about the Michael Brown shooting. The Michael Brown shooting, by the way, was a good shoot. In fact, it turns out that after another review of the Michael Brown shooting by Officer Darren Wilson, it turns out 5 years after the 6 years after the case has been dismissed again. According to the Daily Wire today, Amanda Prestigiacomo reporting, St. Louis County prosecuting attorney Wesley Bell announced on Thursday he will not be bringing charges against former Ferguson Police Department officer Darren Wilson, who fatally shot Michael Brown 18 back in 2014. During a Thursday press conference, Bell announced the news by prefacing it as, quote, one of the most difficult things I've had to do, noting that his heart breaks for the Browns. And the question for the office was a simple one. Could we prove beyond a reasonable doubt that when Darren Wilson shot Michael Brown, he committed murder or manslaughter under Missouri law, Bell asked. After an independent and in-depth review of the evidence, we cannot prove that he did. He, by the way, is the county's first black prosecutor. He reopened the case after taking office. One of the reasons he gained office is because of disapproval for no case against Darren Wilson in the first place. And then he looked at the evidence and he said, sorry, we can't actually make a case. Bell said his office conducted a 5-month review of witness statements, forensic reports, and other evidence. The AP noted, adding his investigation does not exonerate Darren Wilson. By the way, it's not the way the criminal justice process works. If you're not convicted, that does not mean that you are exonerated. There is no exonerated standard in criminal law. They're just not prosecuted. So you also don't get to declare not exonerated. That's not the way this works. Bell said, I know this is not the result they were looking for and that their pain will continue forever. Jim Towie, Wilson's attorney, noted Bell's review had the same conclusion as Bell's predecessor, a grand jury, and the U.S. DOJ. That was Obama's DOJ, by the way. There was no crime. The Obama Justice Department at the time pointed out that there was no crime. But it doesn't matter. Democrats have continued to lie about the Michael Brown shooting and use it as the basis for a political campaign to suggest that America and its police officers are deeply racist. Now, as we will see, the exploitation of prominent people's death was not relegated to John Lewis yesterday. It also extended over to Herman Cain, the 74-year-old former Republican candidate for president in 2012, the first black Republican ever to lead presidential polling in 2012. He passed away. He passed away from COVID. And that led the media to jump on his death and use it for their own political purposes. This is about as ugly as it gets, guys. It really is ugly. Between the demagoguery of Barack Obama over John Lewis's death and the attempts to link George Wallace with today's federal law enforcement protecting federal buildings from rioters and looters, and the media jumping on Herman Cain's death to blame President Trump. This is hideous stuff. It really is, and it really does disintegrate the country. Coming up, it's not just John Lewis's death being exploited by the left to make political hay, it's also Herman Cain's death. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans' issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5, 1460 AM.
No one plans to visit the emergency room, but when life's accidents happen, you need on-time, first-rate medical attention. Shasta Regional Medical Center, located at 1100 Butte Street in downtown Reading, has the fastest possible transit and admission of emergency patients. We at Shasta Medical Center are dedicated to all patients who need care, regardless of their ability to pay. Shasta Regional Medical Center, delivering patient-centered health care with compassion, dignity, and respect for every patient and their family.
We are Women of Vision.
Hi, I'm Haley Clandenny.
And I'm Maurice Brown.
Join us for the Women of Vision show Tuesday nights from 6 to 7.
Women of Vision is a movement, women empowering women, locally and globally. We connect female professionals and entrepreneurs and encourage women to collaborate and achieve their personal and professional goals.
With a spirit of integrity and excellence, we will motivate you to thrive, activating your unique ability. Join us Tuesday nights from 6 to 7 on KCNR 96.5 FM.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
For over 45 years, Clyde's Home Entertainment is the place people turn to for locally owned expert advice on electronics that turn your home into a theater. Clyde's goes the extra mile for their customers. They have a huge selection of audio and video accessories and equipment. Whether it's the latest 4K television or a hard-to-find accessory, Clyde's is the place for all your home electronic needs. Clyde's is a full-service dealer for Samsung, Klipsch, Yamaha, LG, and more. They offer full-service Dish Network. Be sure to ask about the current monthly specials. The original, and still the best, Clyde's Enterprises, 1250 Hartnell and Reading. They have it all. 221-4144. That's 221-4144. Clyde's.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
A building that's meant to last is not built overnight. And for centuries, the cornerstone has been crucial to guide each brick and wall that comes after. A strong community relies on many cornerstones. So at Cornerstone Community Bank, we've taken our name to heart. Whether it's your business or your family, we'll provide the financial cornerstone that you need to build on. We're local. We're community. We're your cornerstone. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
You know, it can be difficult to find a trustworthy, knowledgeable, and yet affordable auto repair shop. Advanced Automotive is a second-generation, locally owned, full-service repair shop serving our community since 1993, and one of only four AAA-approved auto repair shops in the Reading area. Advanced Automotive has a goal, and it's to keep it simple to have safe, reliable vehicles for our customers and our community. Call or come by to meet the crew who is here to serve you. 244-4423 at Advanced Automotive.
Enjoy delicious Black Bear Diner food in the comfort of your own cave. Try one of our 9 new family meals to go, like the breakfast combo family meal loaded with eggs, thick-cut bacon, sausage links, and 4 huge house-baked biscuits. Or the chicken fried steak family meal for 4 with country gravy, cornbread muffins, and 2 large family sides. Starting at $19.99, our family meals to go feed 3 to 4, so try all 9. Order carry out or delivery at
Black Bear Diner.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
About pandemic preparedness or pandemic protection, while these massive rallies on social justice warrior messaging took place in the streets, Chris Cuomo, who spent his evenings showing up on national TV with giant nasal swabs to make fun of his brother's nose size, Chris Cuomo, who ditched his own quarantine in order to apparently go to his second house while he had COVID. That guy is going to lecture Trump about Herman Cain. Again, without any evidence that Cain picked this thing up at the Trump rally. By the way, I do have a question. Everybody's saying, well, this is because, you know, it's because Herman Cain didn't wear a mask. My understanding is that the masks don't protect you. They protect everybody else. Isn't that the math of the masks? We've been told that routinely, that the only masks that protect you are the N95 respirators that are used in hospitals. That if you're wearing a surgical mask, it protects everybody else. It doesn't protect you. So even if you've been wearing a mask, that wouldn't have protected him from getting it, presumably. Right? That is what we have been told, unless I'm getting that very, very wrong. And by the way, that's not a case against mask wearing. But again, the media's attempt to twist this into a story of Trumpian evil and to reduce Herman Cain's life to his death is really disgusting. Reuters did the same thing. So Reuters had a headline about Herman Cain. Here was their headline about, again, a man who at one point led the 2012 Republican presidential race, a man who served on the Federal Reserve Board of Chairs, a man who spent his entire life becoming a success in the United States as a black man in America growing up in a segregated America in Atlanta. Here was how Reuters summed up Herman Cain's life. Quote, Herman Cain, a former Republican presidential candidate and supporter of President Trump, who refused to wear a mask during the coronavirus pandemic, has died after contracting COVID-19. Yeah, I got a dunk on the guy because he didn't wear a mask. It seems to me that so much of the focus on mask wearing. Listen, again, I think you should wear a mask. I've been saying consistently for months, as soon as the conventional wisdom turned, I've been saying, what's the harm? Wear the mask. It can't hurt. And that's what I've been saying for months. Okay, so this is not a diatribe against mask wearing, what I'm about to say. But it seems to me that many of the people who are focused in on dunking on people who die after, quote unquote, not wearing masks, what they're really attempting to do is create in their own minds a protective shield by which they say, okay, well, if I do all of the approved things, then for sure I won't die. For sure I'll be okay. But if I wear the mask and if I pay attention to what the media tell me, then I won't die. Then I'll be okay. And the answer is, there's no evidence that that's the case. Okay, the answer is, I'm sure there are many people who have died who have been pretty careful about this stuff. In fact, there are stories of people who have been pretty careful about this stuff who are dying. There's a certain amount of dissociation that is going on. And listen, I understand it. I get it. I do the same thing. I'm a human being. Everybody does. Whenever somebody dies, the first question you ask is how. And then if they did something of which you don't approve, you go, oh, well, at least it won't happen to me. Okay, but Herman Cain's life story is not about how he died. It's about how he lived. And the attempt to reduce him to his death method so that you can smack around Donald Trump on mask wearing. By the way, while Donald Trump is going out and now preaching that everybody should wear masks, is pretty gross. And this was the predominant sentiment, by the way, online yesterday. Leftists blaming Herman Cain for his own death and suggesting that Donald Trump is responsible for his own death. Tony Posnansky tweeted out, there's another one of these blue checkmarked lefties. He tweeted out, I feel bad for Herman Cain and his family, but I don't feel bad for his selfishness, his mocking of a deadly disease, nor convincing others it is safe to go maskless. I refuse to have sympathy for those who put my family in danger. Wear an MFing mask. Okay, I wonder what he has to say about Denmark or Netherlands, where they have refused to mandate mask wearing because they say that the evidence on it is pretty scanty, which, by the way, it kind of is. That doesn't mean you shouldn't wear a mask. It doesn't mean you shouldn't be careful. But to pretend that the evidence is absolutely clear neglects the fact that there are plenty of countries where they are not mandating mask wearing because the evidence is not exactly clear at this point. Over and over and over again, members of the media were using Herman Cain's death to dunk on the man, which is just really kind of disgusting. Anna Navarro, who's become just a bleep show, she tweeted out, Herman Cain thought COVID was a hoax, scoffed at wearing a mask, died of COVID. That is not true. There's a post on Herman Cain's website today from his staff pointing out that he has started every podcast recently with the note that everybody should wash your hands a lot. And yes, that when you're in public, you should wear a mask. Bill Montgomery, co-founder of pro-Trump Turning Point USA, scoffed at virus, died of COVID. Representative Gohmert refused to wear a mask, has COVID. See a pattern? COVID doesn't care about partisanship. Okay, I don't remember Anna Navarro tweeting the same thing about mass rallies in the streets where people were not wearing their masks. But, you know, so long as you can dunk on people, then you can feel good about yourself. So really well done all around. Well, at least if we're going to live in the most garbage timeline, we have distractions like the NBA, right? I mean, at least we can enjoy sports together until they decide to politicize everything about sports and make them stupid. So I'm not saying you can't enjoy basketball. You can. But it does take a little bit of overlooking when they decide that social justice warrior messaging is going to be just poured into, just, I mean, up to the brim, into the NBA, into the MLB, into the NFL. Apparently the end zones in the NFL are going to have things like equality and stand for justice, like on the end zones now. It's great. I mean, honestly, what they really should just do is they should just label. These are all in-kind contributions to the Democratic Party, because let's be frank about this. All of the sloganeering here is designed to back up a particular narrative about America is systemically racist that the Democratic Party preaches. Right? We are engaged right now in, again, what linguists call semantic overload. There's nothing wrong with the principle of equality before the law. Right? That is a very good principle. There's nothing wrong with the principle of peace. Right? All of these things are good. But let's be real about this. When people say Black Lives Matter and they put it on the side of a basketball court, what they do not mean is that Black Lives Matter the same as white lives and all lives matter. That's not what they mean. They do, because that's eminently obvious. What they mean is that America is systemically racist, right? That is the semantic overload point. Because if you say to them, I agree Black Lives Matter and also America is not systemically racist, then they will respond and say, then you don't agree Black Lives Matter, which means that you are just using a semantically overloaded term so that you can avoid saying what you actually mean, because what you actually mean is a lot more unpopular than what you're saying. Right? That is what is happening right now. Every single person agrees in America that Black Lives Matter, because you'd be an awful human being not to agree that Black Lives Matter. But that is not what Black Lives Matter advocates mean when they say Black Lives Matter. What they actually mean is that police are evil and that America is systemically racist and that all inequality is a result of systematic inequity. Right? That's what they actually mean. So the NBA has decided to go full bore on this. So last night they had the relaunched NBA inside the bubble and all the players knelt for the national anthem. So now everybody's Kaepernicking. Because obviously America's a terrible, horrible place where you get to earn millions of dollars for playing a child's game in front of adoring audiences. And Americans care so little about Black lives that they are more than happy to watch basketball players paid millions of dollars to dunk a basketball. Very, very cruel country this is. Deeply cruel, terrible country in which Americans obviously don't agree that Black lives matter, which is why we spend tens of millions of dollars watching games and patronizing products that are advertised by these spokespeople. And the American flag is responsible. The American flag is bad. For the revisionist historians who suggest that kneeling for the national anthem, by the way, is a sign of respect for the flag, it was never meant as a sign of respect for the flag. It was meant as a sign of disrespect for the flag. It was meant that way. It was meant originally as a signifier that America is systemically racist and the flag represents that systemic racism. Again, you can do, like, I'm, at least the MLB knelt before the national anthem, but kneeling for the national anthem is saying that the national anthem is not true and that the flag is not true. So the NBA led off with this, which of course makes it harder to watch the game because, again, no one is watching basketball to hear the social justice warrior messaging, but they decided to get even more obvious about it. They did this routine where they basically went full XFL. If you remember the XFL, people were putting names on their jerseys like He Hate Me. There's nicknames on their jersey. He Hate Me was the most famous one. Well, yesterday, the NBA had players wearing words on their jerseys, like slogans on their jerseys. And it seems to me they should just put Biden 2020 on their jerseys if this is what they really think, or America sucks on their jerseys if that's what they really think. Instead, you had the bizarre picture of players throwing up alley oops. Well, like, if you don't know the players, you literally have no idea who is playing right now. Like, the purpose of the name on the back of the jersey used to be to identify the players. So instead, you had Equality throwing an alley-oop for peace. I'm not kidding. Meta World Peace was really ahead of his time. A man ahead of... World Be Free. A man ahead of his time. Here is actual... Like, that's actually what happened. I mean, I don't even know how the announcers announced this. And they know the names of the players, but if you didn't, right, if you're just watching this thing, it's like, man, coming up the court is Equality. Here comes Equality, running up the court, throws up an alley-oop to peace. And there's peace slamming it home over Say Their Names. That's literally how it looked yesterday.
That would be the sound that you'd hear down under.
Strong finish. Zion Williamson on a special delivery.
Equality throwing it up to Peace.
You
he's also,
not
ironically, dunking over Peace.
With the
so
ball
Peace got
up
posterized
top.
Right here. Peace got dunked
gets
on.
To the wing. Zion just spins
exciting,
out.
Exciting stuff. So Equality throws it up for Peace. Peace dunks over Peace. Good stuff, everybody. Yeah. I noticed Free Hong Kong was benched. So was Stop the NBA's Chinese Talent Sweatshop. That person never made it to the court, so that's too bad. Charles Barkley got a lot of flack yesterday because Charles Barkley, who may be the only sane person left dealing with the NBA, he said, by the way, if you don't kneel, you're not a bad person. And everybody's like, yes, you are. You're a bad person if you don't kneel. We've reached the point where that which is not barred is mandatory, where it's not that – remember we started off with, like, should Colin Kaepernick be allowed to kneel? And – most people are like, I think it's a bad idea, but, like, I don't think you should be banned from kneeling. Like, I think it's kind of a garbagey thing to do, but I don't think you should be banned. And now it's mandatory. You're a bad person who doesn't care about black people if you don't kneel for the national anthem. A national anthem that represents a country that has seen more racial progress than any other country in human history, and in which the richest black people on planet Earth live by average income. Okay, but apparently Charles Barkley's a bad guy for saying that if you don't kneel, you're not a bad person. Like, this is how far we have come.
My thing is, listen, the national anthem means different things to different people. I'm glad these guys are all unified. But if people don't kneel, they're not a bad person. I want to make that perfectly clear. I'm glad they had unity. But if we have a guy who doesn't want to kneel because the anthem means something to him, he should not.
Okay, and everybody came down on Barkley. How dare he say that? He's not woke enough, Charles Barkley. Yeah, all right. Well, this is the way the culture is moving. Coming up. Our media. People are losing trust in them. I cannot imagine why. Wait until you hear this headline. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Paid for by Tax Advocate Group.
Are you tired of dodging the IRS for back taxes? Are you curious about potential new options available to you because of COVID-19? The coronavirus has forced the government to take extensive actions, making this the most opportunistic time for you to finally restructure or even resolve your tax debt with the IRS. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, have unfiled tax returns, and are experiencing hardships because of the impact of COVID-19, you could qualify for more aggressive resolution plans with the IRS. Tax Advocate Group has specialists ready to help you determine your eligibility for these programs. Act now before it's too late. This could be your best chance to resolve your tax debt. If left unresolved, your debt will continue to accumulate penalties and interest and eventually be subject to serious and punitive collection activity. Call to take advantage of these temporary tax relief options to resolve your tax debt today.
Call 800-555-1212. That's 800-555-1212. Again, 800-555-1212.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
There's a solution to hunger and poverty for millions.
farming families in developing nations can access food and flatten the curve on environmental harm. Nonprofit Trees for the Future is training farming communities to rethink how they farm using trees. Farmers are improving their nutrition and income so they can weather any storm. Learn more at trees.org/radio. That's TREES.org/radio. This message is sponsored by Trees for the Future.
If your idea of a big, bold summer is hanging out around the backyard barbecue, I've got a snack that will fit right in. Southern Recipe Small Batch Pork Rinds. Yep, it's a bold-flavored snack that's more craveable than potato chips and the perfect low-carb alternative to breadcrumbs in your favorite recipe. You gotta try the...
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to a North State with no more homeless pets.
Individuals of the cervix. Do you, sir, take this individual of the cervix to be your lawfully wedded wife? How romantic. Wokeness has proceeded so far that women have been completely erased. They don't even exist anymore. Individuals with the cervix. Individuals with the cervix. It's fantastic, fantastic stuff. Now, here's the thing. There will be a backlash to this, and the backlash, I think, will come in the form of reasonable people just saying, you know what, no. I'm not kneeling for the national anthem, nor do I frankly feel like patronizing basketball games where I'm lectured about how America is systemically racist by people who are earning millions and millions of dollars to call America systemically racist. Honestly, the best thing that happened yesterday is maybe the only good thing that happened yesterday was Trader Joe's said, you know what, we're not changing our labels. Remember, a few days ago, there was a big story about people petitioning saying that Trader Jose's, like guacamole, was racist. Well, Trader Joe's put out a statement. They're like, nope, nope. They said a few weeks ago, an online petition was launched calling on us to, quote, remove racist packaging from our products. Following were inaccurate reports that the petition prompted us to take action. We want to be clear. We disagree that any of these labels are racist. We do not make decisions based on petitions. Thank you. Thank you. It's about damn time somebody said this. They said we make decisions based on what customers purchase, as well as the feedback we receive from our customers and crew members. If we feel there is need for change, we do not hesitate to take action. Decades ago, our buying team started using product names like Trader Giotto's, Trader Jose's, Trader Ming's, etc. We thought then, and still do, that this naming of products could be fun and show appreciation for other cultures. For example, we named our Mexican beer Trader Jose Premium. And a couple guacamole products are called Avocado's Number, in a kitschy reference to a mathematical theory. These products have been really popular with our customers, including some budding mathematicians. Recently, we have heard from many customers reaffirming these name variations are largely viewed in exactly the way they were intended, as an attempt to have fun with our product marketing. We will continue our ongoing evaluation, and those products that resonate with our customers and sell well will remain on our shelves. Good for Trader Joe's. Guess what? There's not going to be an end to this. There really is not. Because the social justice warrior insanity, it doesn't end at any point. There's no limiting principle to it, which is why you're seeing, and this one I love, you're seeing Beyonce come under fire. There's a new documentary. It's not really a documentary. It's sort of like a movie that is called Black is King for Disney Plus that is produced by Beyonce. Now, first of all, let me just point out that if Disney Plus launched a program called White is King, it would be the end of the world, right? It would be the end of the world. They launch a program called Black is King and everybody's like, okay, totally fine. In any case, Black is King is based on The Lion King, which is, I mean, first of all, isn't that cultural appropriation? Like, it's based on Lion King. The music for Lion King was originally written by two white guys, Elton John and Tim Rice. And the story of Lion King is based on William Shakespeare's Hamlet, who happened to be a white guy. So it seems like a little cultural appropriation. Now Beyonce's under a little bit of fire because it turns out that Beyonce is not, in fact, African. And for her to culturally appropriate African culture is sort of a problem for some people on the left. Not kidding. There are articles on this today. People defending Beyonce saying she's allowed to do it because she's disconnected from her history, but her disconnection from her own history is because of white intervention over slavery and all this. The fact that it's even a controversy is bizarre. She's paying tribute to Africa. There's nothing wrong with that. But the fact that it's a controversy shows how stupid everything is. In fact, things are so stupid that now Portland's Wall of Moms is falling apart. Portland's Wildmont. Remember, these are the woke white ladies who are supposedly protecting peaceful protesters who are actually vicious rioters and looters from the predations of federal police officers attempting to stop violations of law. Now the wall of moms is falling apart. Why? Because they were too white. Not kidding. According to Oregon Live, Portland's Wall of Moms, a group formed in recent weeks and quickly recognized as a staple of nightly downtown protests, was accused publicly Wednesday of anti-blackness by leaders of an existing black-led community group. Wall of Moms, whose members said they aim to support and protect other Black Lives Matter protesters near the fence in front of the federal courthouse, announced Friday that its white leadership had rescinded their positions to allow women of color to be in charge. So the Wall of Moms fell apart because they weren't black enough. New leaders announced Friday include Teresa Rayford, executive director of Don't Shoot Portland, Demetria Hester, and Danielle James. Less than a week later, Don't Shoot Portland took to Instagram to urge people against supporting the Wall of Moms, saying it was no longer working with the moms group. Because after leaving vulnerable black women downtown after marching, failing to support those on the ground that put trust in them, Wall of Moms leadership also found time to make three registrations through Oregon's Secretary of State. This was done without the knowledge of the black leadership that Wall of Moms was claiming to implement. The lies are finally clear. We are sad, but ultimately not surprised that anti-blackness showed its ugly face with Wall of Moms. Good times. They weren't woke enough. Because guess what? You're never woke enough. Ever, ever, ever. There is no... The wokeness never ends. It just... There's no limitations to the wokeness. Now, if you're thinking to yourself, you know, all of this seems like pretty solid ground for President Trump to campaign. And so you got the Democrats seeking to undermine fundamental institutions of American republicanism and checks and balances like filibusters. You have Democrats seeking to prop up rioting and looting. You have a system so woke that the Wall of Moms is not woke enough. You have every major cultural institution pushing social justice warrior messaging about how America is systemically evil. Wouldn't that be some pretty fertile ground for Trump to campaign? Well, lest you forget, Donald Trump is busy distracting us all with absolute, utter, insane stupidity. So you remember that yesterday, President Trump floated the idea of postponing the election, which is fundamentally unconstitutional. You cannot do that. The election is set as the first weekend in November. Right? It has been set that way by the Constitution of the United States for well over 150 years. The president doesn't have that kind of power. Now, yesterday, I kind of shrugged it off a little bit because Trump says a lot of crap. And it's true. He does say a lot of crap. And I'm not going to pretend I take Trump particularly seriously as a person. I don't. I've never taken Trump particularly seriously as a person because I think if you do, then you're doing it wrong, frankly. That does not justify his activity in undermining fundamental faith in American democracy by saying that the vote is going to be so corrupted that we should postpone the election. Right? That is a tactic the Democrats have been using. Stacey Abrams has been using it. I mean, frankly, Barack Obama did it when he suggested that there's been widespread voter suppression against black Americans. It doesn't matter when Trump does it. And Trump really opened the door to everybody clocking him. It's political malpractice, and it's unconstitutional, unreasonable, foolish, and wrong for the president of the United States to threaten delaying the election. It really justifies a lot of the complaints about Trump I'm old enough to remember when I was defending Trump against charges, he was going to say stuff like this, and then he went ahead and said stuff like this. And that left running room for the left. So Chuck Schumer said, no, the election is going to be November 3rd. And, of course, he is correct about this.
Once again, all he wants to do is divert from his abject failure in the coronavirus crisis. He says, oh, well, maybe we won't have an election. That's up to the Senate and the House. Mr. President, President Trump, the election will be on November 3rd, and you will not change it.
He's right about
that. Stop diverting attention. President Trump, that's what you've done.
Okay, well, in any case, the rest of it is relevant, but that he's not wrong that the election will take place at this point. Now, the question is whether you take Trump with a grain of salt because he is fundamentally an unserious human being, which is what I've thought for a very long time, that has not wavered for years, or whether you take it super duper seriously. If you take it seriously, it's a fascist threat. If Barack Obama said, I'm delaying the election, everybody on the right would completely go nuts. The reason I don't take Trump as seriously as Obama is because I don't think that Trump is as serious a person as Obama. I think he mouths off. My proof for the fact that he just mouths off and says crap is that he mouths off and says crap. He himself said this. Yesterday, he came out and said, glad I was able to get the very dishonest, lamestream media to finally start talking about the risks to our democracy from dangerous, universal mail-in voting, not absentee voting, which I totally support. So he came out and he said, oh, yeah. By the way, when I was saying delay the election, it was really just a misdirect tactic so people would talk about mail-in voting, which, God. Okay, so why not just say mail-in voting is bad? It is bad. There are reports about how bad it is. You don't have to do that. You don't have to make a fascistic threat to delay the election. It's like he deliberately wants to blow the election. I don't know what else to take away from this kind of idiocy. I really do not. The Democrats, all they had to do is not be nuts. They are nuts, and Trump could still lose the election because he's acting like this. And you know what? If he acts like this, frankly, it's on him. Alrighty. Well, we'll be back here later today with two additional hours of content. Otherwise, we'll be here on Monday. In the meantime, go pick up a copy of my brand new book, How to Destroy America, in 3 Easy Steps. It describes everything that is going on, including the campaign against the filibuster now being pursued by Democrats. So go check that out. It is 3 on the New York Times bestseller list, 2 on the Wall Street Journal, Publishers Weekly, Amazon bestseller list. Make it 1 by going to Amazon and picking up a copy today. I am Ben Shapiro. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. A British man, a Florida man, and a Florida teen identified by authorities as the hackers who earlier this month took over Twitter accounts of prominent politicians, celebrities, and technology moguls to scam people around the world out of more than $100,000 in Bitcoin. The BBC's Chris Fox reports how the hack took place.
Twitter actually today has explained a little bit more about how the attackers got access into the system. They said it was a spear phishing attack done on a telephone that tricked some of its employees into handing over their credentials for internal Twitter systems. And once the attackers had those credentials, they could use them to reset the account information of 130 Twitter accounts, including those celebrity ones, and get access to them.
Meanwhile, the 17-year-old was arrested earlier today in Tampa, where the Hillsborough State Attorney's Office will prosecute him as an adult. The 19-year-old Brit and 22-year-old from Orlando were charged in a California federal court. A federal appeals court overturned a death sentence of Zokhar Tsarnaev in the 2013 Boston Marathon bombing, saying the judge who oversaw the case did not adequately screen jurors for potential biases. Tsarnaev was convicted on 30 charges, including conspiracy and use of a weapon of mass destruction in the attack that killed 3 people and injured over 260 others. A hurricane warning posted for the Sunshine State. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis says residents need to keep an eye on Hurricane Isaias.
To ensure the state's fully prepared for impact, I just signed an executive order to declare a state of emergency in every coastal county up Florida's east coast. From Miami-Dade to Nassau counties.
Miami-Dade County already has closed beaches, marinas, and parks, and 20 evacuation centers are on standby that could be set up with COVID-19 safety measures. News and analysis at townhall.com.
I'm United States Surgeon General Jerome Adams, America's doctor. And all across our nation, we've taken steps together to slow the spread of coronavirus. Now we must continue to take personal responsibility to protect ourselves and our loved ones. Because even though not all of us risk a severe case of coronavirus, we all risk getting it and spreading it to others, maybe without even realizing that we're sick. So if we want to get back to school, back to work, back to worship, and back to overall health, there are things our country needs to do. We need to follow state and local guidelines, take extra precautions if at higher risk, wash our hands frequently, stay 6 feet from others when we can, and when we can't stay 6 feet from others, please, I'm begging you, wear a face covering. These small actions will make a big difference. So I'm asking you to say it with me, America. Coronavirus stops with me. You can learn more at coronavirus.gov.
Produced by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services at taxpayer expense.
American consumers increased their spending in June, helping regain some of the record plunge that occurred after the coronavirus paralyzed the economy.
The Commerce Department says consumer spending rose a solid 5.6% last month. At the same time, however, personal incomes dropped 1.1%. A resurgence of coronavirus cases across much of the country is thought likely to impede further gains in consumer spending.
Ben Thomas with that report. Spirit Airlines has warned up to 30% of its employees that they'll lose their jobs in October, and regional carrier ExpressJet's future is in doubt after losing a key contract as the virus pandemic continues to hammer the airline industry. Spirit's the latest airline to deliver layoff warnings to employees, which are required by federal law 60 days before any large-scale job cuts. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. Amazon's one step closer to outer space.
The company has received government approval to put more than 3,200 satellites into orbit with the goal of beaming Internet service to Earth. Amazon said the satellites could provide internet to parts of the world that don't have it. It could also become a new business for Amazon, selling internet service to people or companies. John Scott reporting.
Two U.S. astronauts about to make the first splashdown return in 45 years said today they'll have seasick bags ready to use if they need. SpaceX and NASA plan to bring Doug Hurley and Bob Behnken back on Sunday afternoon in the company's Dragon capsule. They're aiming for a Gulf of Mexico splashdown just off the Florida Panhandle. Flight controllers, though, are keeping close watch on Hurricane Isaias, expected to stick to Florida's east coast. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Orchard Nutrition Center has exclusive special offers now through the 4th of July. We carry organic, non-GMO, and clean, healthy products, and we're working to keep our communities safe. We offer contactless shopping, social distancing, and we're sanitizing. Our staff, which includes certified nutritionists, take pride in helping you make informed product choices. We look forward to continuing to serve your family for many more years to come. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
These are unprecedented times. Challenging how the YMCA works to strengthen community as we have for nearly 170 years. But we've always found ways to help people and communities in times of crisis. Right now, Ys across the country are providing emergency child care, shelter, food programs, and outreach to seniors. But we can't do it alone. Whether you're connected to the Y or have a fond Y memory, we need you to stay with us. Reach out to your local Y today and stay with us for a better us.
Continues to increase. That is not a large shock. What we are all waiting for, sort of, is to see what happens in New York and New Jersey when they actually begin to reopen. There's not a lot of evidence to suggest, by the way, that lockdowns have been entirely successful. California was locked down for a very long time. The caseload continued to increase fairly consistently. Then there was reopening a little bit, and then they shut down again, and the caseload has continued to increase. So the bottom line is this. Everybody sort of agrees on what we can do, broadly speaking, but nobody believes that it's going to be the be-all, end-all. So here's what we now believe, and this is pretty much universal. Right? It's been adopted by left and right and center. Everybody's sort of on board with this, except in the Netherlands and Denmark, where they disagree with a lot of it. And, again, they're not seeing caseloads like we're seeing here, so who the hell knows? President Trump, yesterday, he came out and said, listen, wear a mask, socially distance, wash your hands, which pretty much everybody is doing at this point and has been the going advice for quite a while. Here's President Trump yesterday.
And I'm once again urging all Americans to protect the elderly, socially distance, wear a mask when you cannot avoid the crowded places. And if you can, you have to avoid crowded places. It just seems like so many things are taking place in crowded places. We don't want that. And always wash your hands. Wash your hands as often as you can.
Okay, so he says that. Brett Giroir, Admiral Brett Giroir, who is leading up the coronavirus response team, he says the same thing on CNN's Town Hall last night.
No matter what, when you're waiting for a test or not, you need to do the things we're talking about. And I know you guys have emphasized so much. You got to wear a mask. You got to avoid crowds. You got to avoid indoor places. And whether you have a positive test or a negative test, you really need to continue to do that. That's so important. And we know that's very effective in stopping the spread.
Okay, well, we don't actually know that the masking is supremely effective in stopping the spread. We think that it might sort of be effective. The reason I say we don't know for a certainty is because, again, Denmark, the Netherlands, they're not doing the masking, and they have not seen a massive spread the same way the United States has. Here's the problem. We don't have a lot of alternatives, right? These are the things that we are going to have to do because that's pretty much all you can do at this point. The most optimistic estimates are suggesting that first half of 2021 there may be a vaccine. A huge percentage of Americans say they are not even sure they're going to take the vaccine when it arrives. We don't know how effective the vaccine is going to be or for how long a term. There's a doctor on CNN saying that they're optimistic that there might be a vaccine in the first half of 2021. This is Moncef Slaoui, who's the chief advisor to Operation Warp Speed, says the vaccine could be 90% effective, which would be great, but that assumes that most Americans are going to take it. If you're young, you might not, because you might say that the threat from the vaccine, if I'm under 25, is actually greater than the threat of me getting the disease, which statistically speaking might in fact be true. You are more likely as a small child to be hit by lightning than to die of COVID.
We would not have doses for the full U.S. population on day one. We would probably have a few tens of millions of doses in December and January, and probably it would be appropriate to immunize those individuals that are at highest risk of severe disease with the COVID virus. But I am optimistic that we will have vaccines for everybody within the year 2021, ideally within the first half of the year 2021. That's our objective.
Yeah, first half of the year 2021, that's a long time, guys. So what are we going to do in the meantime? This brings up the question of schools. What exactly are we going to do with the schools? And the answer is we should open the schools. That's clearly the answer. Okay, the schools have been open in a wide variety of European countries. They've seen no significant upticks. The only case where we've had an outbreak at a school was a case in Israel. In that case, it is not clear that the infection came from the school children. It may, in fact, have come from the high schoolers. There's a difference in the transmission vectors based on age. Not a lot of evidence that small children are conveying this to adults. Some evidence that middle schoolers and high schoolers are conveying it to adults, which is why a lot of private schools are putting additional restrictions on kids above the age of 10, but very few restrictions on kids below the age of 10. President Trump says we have to follow the science and get safely back to school. He's being ripped up and down for this, but he is not wrong about this, obviously.
Children are at the lowest risk of any age group from the virus. Indefinite school closures will inflict lasting harm to our nation's children. We must follow the science and get students safely back to school while protecting children, teachers, staff, and family. We have to remember that there's another side to this. Keeping them out of school and keeping work closed is causing death also, economic harm, but causing death for different reasons, but death, probably more death.
Okay, he's right about this for people who are young. Dr. Robert Redfield of the CDC has said exactly the same thing. The information suggesting that schools are a chief vector of transmission simply is not there. It simply is not there. Nonetheless, the New York Times is trotting out studies by research teams that are assuming that children are transmitting this thing to adults at the same rate that adults are transmitting this thing to adults. There have been a variety of studies from Switzerland to Iceland to Australia that suggest that that is not the case. As the New York Times acknowledges, some preliminary studies have suggested children are infected less often or that young ones do not transmit the disease as readily, which could reduce the risk. But those questions remain unresolved. Okay, but if the questions remain unresolved, and if your idea is that any infections are too many infections, then we're going to stay shut down forever. Again, if you're a child, you're significantly less likely to die of this thing than you are likely to die of the flu. And I mean like 16 times less likely to die of this thing than the flu if you're under the age of 5. To pretend that we're supposed to keep schools shut for small children, who, by the way, are experiencing significant mental distress and not being in school, not being with other kids, being isolated in their homes, that there are bleed-over effects to parents who can't work because they got the kids at home. If you're pretending that all this doesn't have an impact, then you are just lying. Yanone Weiss has a good piece over at Real Clear Politics today talking about what the science says. He says, as badly as our lockdowns have damaged local businesses, a potentially even bigger problem is created by the physical closure of schools. One of the most important functions of a civil society is to protect and educate its children. The cancellation of in-person education stands to become one of the most detrimental acts of collateral damage during this pandemic. California wants 5-year-olds to complete kindergarten exclusively through online distance learning. The LA Teachers Union maintains the only people guaranteed to benefit from premature reopening of schools are billionaires and the politicians they've purchased, which is insane because if you're a billionaire in California, you ain't sending your kid to the crappy California public schools. But again, here's the reality. Estimated relative risk of death from flu versus pneumonia. If you are under the age of 1 year, you're 17 times more likely to die of flu than of COVID. If you're between the ages of 1 and 4, you're 20 times more likely to die of flu than of COVID. If you're between 5 and 14, you are 7 times as likely to die of the flu than of COVID. And if you're between 15 and 24, you're about 1.26 times as likely to die of the flu as of COVID. It's only after you reach the age of 25 you become more likely to die of COVID than of the flu. Sweden is sending its kids to class. Denmark has been sending kids to class. Finland has been sending kids to class. Montana has been sending kids to class. Canada and Germany have been sending kids to class. Transmission from children to adults remains rare. This is particularly true of small children. So why exactly aren't they just reopening the schools? The answer is because the teachers' unions have an insane level of power. And that is why you are seeing insane proposals. Like there's a proposal that childcare be opened in the same places that schools would be open, just without the teaching. Which, like, if you got the kids in the room, you're just not teaching them, which vectors of transmission have you closed? Meanwhile, Mayor Bill de Blasio in New York, the worst mayor in America, officially presented his school reopening plan Friday, calling for a weekly blended approach of in-class and online learning for a vast majority of kids. Most students will be physically in class 2 to 3 days a week, says the mayor. He said the city's daily positive test rate for the coronavirus must remain below 3% for the plan to work. He said the Friday figures should remain steady at 1%. He said it was conceivable schools could fully reopen for on-site instruction without a vaccine if the number of virus cases in the city becomes virtually non-existent, but that the scenario would be difficult. Each school's plan would vary between 1 to 3 days of in-student learning, with the rest of the school week remote, which, of course, is going to lead private schools to basically reopen. A lot of people applying to public private schools, a lot of people starting private education pods, and this leads the left to say that educational inequalities have been exacerbated. The kids who are going to pay for this are basically low-income kids with parents who need to work. Because what happens to those kids when mom and dad need to go back to work? Which, by and large, they do, and if they're young and healthy, they probably should. And meanwhile, if you feel like there is some hypocrisy attached to our political class here, that's because there is. It is very difficult to listen to the quote-unquote experts when the experts keep shifting their opinion every 5 seconds, and when they refuse to sound off on politically contentious issues. So Anthony Fauci, who is on the cover, again, I've been a Fauci defender. I think he's doing his best. I think he's done some heroic work on behalf of particularly HIV victims in the United States for years and years and years. But I will say that Fauci's public handling of himself, I think, has left something to be desired. When you appear in a photo spread for InStyle magazine, I'm not sure what that has to do with your COVID response. He was testifying before Congress today, and he was asked by Jim Jordan, you know, Dr. Fauci, you've sounded off on a wide variety of topics, ranging from how people should make out to exactly what should be done with schools. So question, what should be done with massive public protests for George Floyd? And Fauci's like, I have no opinions on that. At this point, I'm sorry, that sounds kind of political to me.
Crowding together, particularly when you're not wearing a mask, contributes to the spread of the virus.
Should we limit the protesting?
I'm not sure what you mean. How do we say limit the protesting?
Should government limit the protesting?
I don't think that's relevant to...
Well, you just said if it increases the spread of the virus, I'm just asking, should we limit it?
Well, I'm not in a position to determine what the government can do in a forceful way.
Okay, I'm sorry. That's such bullcrap. That's ridiculous. Fauci's been suggesting all along that we need to do lockdowns, maybe mask mandates, and I mean, he's been pretty open and obvious in his recommendations for what government should do. Only when it comes to public protests, he's not willing to say anything. Seems a little bit political. Just a little bit political. No? Okay, but again, we're being told, listen to the experts, listen to the experts, listen to the experts. Then the experts say 5 different conflicting things over the course of weeks, and we're supposed to still take them super seriously about this stuff. Again, I'm not saying that you shouldn't wear a mask. You should. I'm not saying you shouldn't socially distance. You should. I'm saying that if we are to believe that if we all just listen to the experts, everything would be all better, I'm just wondering why it is that countries with widely variant public policies, ranging from Sweden to the Netherlands and Denmark and Italy and Spain and Hong Kong, we're seeing widely variant responses to widely variant policies. There's not extraordinarily clear correlation between any policy advocacy here and any specific result. And yet I guess the idea is that maybe we're just thinking in sort of shamanistic ways, that if we fulfill various basic functions, then we will all be safe. But this is a dangerous virus. It is more dangerous than the flu. It is more transmissible than the flu. There are certain basic things you can do to try and mitigate the risk, but they ain't going to end the risk. And to pretend otherwise is whistling past the graveyard. So it's all very frustrating. But I think we should acknowledge just how frustrating it is, rather than suggesting that political actors are all trying to kill you, which is the kind of go-to of various political voices in our country at this point in time. Already coming up, we're going to be talking with a former teachers' union member about whether schools should reopen and what exactly lies behind so much of the resistance by teachers to reopening schools when it seems fairly clear that the evidence is on the side of reopening the schools. First, let's talk about your online safety and security. The reality of the situation is that there are lots of companies that are looking for your data to monetize it, lots of hackers looking for your data to steal it, frankly. And you shouldn't be handing them your data. If you leave the front door open, you shouldn't be surprised when somebody walks in and starts stealing all of your goodies. Well, the same thing holds true of your data. This is why you need ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN masks your online identity. It anonymizes your online activity using a secure VPN server. ExpressVPN encrypts 100% of your data to protect you from hackers and internet bad guys. Why would you give anybody the power over your data except for yourself? This is why you need ExpressVPN. It's time to take back your privacy at expressvpn.com/ben. By visiting my special link, you get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN service for free. Who doesn't like to save money, right? Again, that's expressvpn.com/Ben. Expressvpn.com/Ben to protect your data today. That's expressvpn.com/Ben. Go check them out right now. Expressvpn.com/Ben. Get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN service for free. Already coming up, we're going to be joined by a teacher who is advocating pretty strongly for reopening schools. She's also going to explain why teachers' unions are opposing it. It's the Ben Shapiro Show.
They know a lot of awesome stuff. I'll stand in front of the class and make sure everyone knows what I know.
If your child is sick over and over again, it could be PI, a serious defect of the immune system. Early testing gives children a chance to dream.
And when I'm a teacher, my favorite subject will be recess.
Jeffrey Modell Foundation, helping children reach for their dreams. Visit info4pi.org.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coach One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
If your idea of a big, bold summer is hanging out around the backyard barbecue, I've got a snack that will fit right in. Southern Recipe Small Batch Pork Rinds. Yep, it's a bold-flavored snack that's more craveable than potato chips and the perfect low-carb alternative to breadcrumbs in your favorite recipe. You got to try the Korean Kimchi Barbecue, Spicy Dill, Pasilla Chili Cheese, and Blackberry Habanero Pork Rinds. This summer, start your own flavor adventure by downloading our coupon and finding new recipes at porkrinds.com. That's porkrinds.com.
In uncertain times, you can be certain of this. The Salvation Army is serving those most in need with help and hope. Thanks to your donations, the Salvation Army is helping those affected by COVID-19, those who've lost wages, who have no home to retreat to, who need food, help with utilities, and most of all, hope. To see how you can continue to make a difference, visit givewestwood.org, givewestwood.org.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Well, huge debate has broken out over whether to reopen schools. Teachers' unions have decided, no, not only should we not reopen schools, also we don't want to teach online. In fact, we'd like to be paid to do apparently nothing. That is the stance of the Los Angeles Teachers Union. Joining us on the line is Rebecca Friedrich. She's a former California school teacher. She taught for 28 years, former union rep, and the lead plaintiff in a case called Friedrichs versus CTA, a Supreme Court case that originally was accepted in 2016. Eventually, a similar case was accepted called Janus that was pretty transformative in union law. Rebecca, thanks so much for joining the show. Really appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
So let's talk about the reopening of schools. I'm sure you've taken a look at the evidence. Do you think the schools should reopen?
I think they absolutely should reopen. And your listeners need to know that most teachers are dying to get back in the classroom. They want to teach. And they're not afraid, but the unions keep speaking for the teachers. So I'm hoping that people will stop listening to these Marxist unions who pose as teachers and start listening to real teachers like me.
So why do you think that the teachers have decided they just don't want to be in schools? Are they freaked out about this, or is this just sort of a money grab?
Well, like I just said, it's not the teachers themselves. Most teachers I know are dying to get back into school. It's definitely a money grab for the unions. I mentioned that they're not really unions. They're Marxists who are posing as teachers' unions. And the reason they don't want our schools reopened is because it advances their radical political agenda. So they put their protests first because their agenda is to demolish our free republic, replace it with socialism. They despise our Judeo-Christian virtues, but they also want to destroy the Trump economy, and they want President Trump to lose. That's just the bottom line. So whatever they can do, they don't care who they hurt. They don't care that they're not representing teachers like me or harming children or harming Americans who are losing their, you know, their jobs and their businesses and everything else. We just have to see through the fact that these people are not really teachers and not really unions.
So, Rebecca, why doesn't the union membership stand up to the leadership then? I mean, if most teachers are eager to get back to work, if most teachers believe that they should get back to work, why aren't we seeing more teachers speaking up loudly and proudly and saying our unions are not representing us properly here?
Yeah, that is such a great question. So you mentioned that I was a union rep at one time. I did that for 3 years, served in the local union as an executive, and every single time I went to state level events, I was bullied, brutalized. I have friends who have worked up at the National Education Association level who speak out for good teachers, who speak out for what's right for kids and for America. They have been spit upon by union leaders. They have been booed off the platform. Basically, we have been brutalized by these unions. Even when they first came in and unionized the teachers, we have testimony in my book about a teacher from the 1960s who, when she wouldn't join the union, they sent 5 men in black suits to her classroom after school while she was working alone. They did that twice until she finally caved and joined the union. So teachers actually need to be rescued from these Marxists posing as unions. They really are in danger inside the unions.
So, Rebecca, it looks like there's going to be a push inside the state of California to shut down private schools. My kids go to a private school. My kids' private school, they really, really want to be open. Frankly, it looks like that private school, unless they get an influx of donations, they're going to go bankrupt. A lot of private schools are on the verge of bankruptcy. Public schools never go bankrupt because they get to bank on the largesse of the taxpayer and of legislators who are enthralled to the unions. Private schools, however, if they don't reopen, people don't pay the tuition, and they still have rent, and then they go bankrupt. So is that part of the goal here is to not only shut down the public schools but shut down the private schools as well?
That is absolutely 100% part of the goal of the Marxist unions, not teachers. Most teachers believe that children should be in the school that is right for them, that parents should have choice. We support President Trump's education freedom scholarships so that families can have the selection of the school that's right for their child. But the unions, for decades, their goal has been to shut down charter schools. Why? Because they're not unionized. To shut down private schools, because they're not unionized. To shut down homeschoolers, and especially private schools of faith, because these unions want to undermine the faith of the American people. So we have to push back against these folks. And it is tragic that private schools could close over this. So I'm just hoping that our leaders will have the courage to stop listening to these Marxist unions and start listening to real teachers like me so we can do the right thing and open these schools for our families.
So, Rebecca, what can Californians do to get involved here? Because one of the big problems in California is obviously that this basically is a union-run state. There's been long-time pact between the unions and politicians. The unions pay to get the politicians elected. Then they negotiate with the politicians they elected to get better contracts and to get more concessions. How did that cycle get broken?
Yeah, oh, my goodness, it's totally corrupt. So we have something on our website that's called forkidsincountry.org. And on our website, we have something called Adopt a Teacher. And this is just one simple thing people can do. Most teachers, I'd say like 90% of teachers, have no idea that the unions are the corrupt ones that are causing all these problems. Because the unions tell them, we're your savior. We're the ones getting you a better paycheck. And so they believe in the unions and they keep paying them. If we can educate teachers and other government employees that their unions are the ones that are causing all these problems and all this corruption and get them to leave the unions. You mentioned the lawsuit that we brought and the lawsuit that came after us. In June 2018, all of a sudden, every government employee in the United States is free to stop funding unions. We don't have to pay them a penny anymore. They're still, unfortunately, representing us, but right now we can stop paying them. Our website also has a link on teacher freedoms and protections. Anyone can go there, teacher or not, and learn how to opt out today. And we send them to other organizations that can help them with the legal issues. We have, you know, frequently asked questions and everything for them there. So they can leave unions. We can educate people that their unions are corrupt and that they no longer need to fund them.
Well, Rebecca Friedrichs, former California school teacher, former union rep, lead plaintiff in Friedrichs versus CTA. Really appreciate your time, and thanks so much for your leadership on these issues.
Thank you.
All righty, coming up, we're going to be taking your phone calls at 855-236-3228. That is 855-236-3228. Don't worry, guys. We're almost there to the weekend. Let's just stick around together. We'll get through this time together. In the meantime, I suggest that you get some reading material this weekend. Go pick up my book, How to Destroy America in 3 Easy Steps, soaring up the bestseller charts, displacing everything but Mary Trump. So if you want to displace Mary Trump at the top of the bestseller list, go buy a copy of my book right now, How to Destroy America in 3 Easy Steps. Otherwise, stick around. We're taking your phone calls, 855-236-3228. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The Backbone Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. The Backbone Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. Backbone Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Orchard Nutrition Center has exclusive special offers now through the 4th of July. We carry organic, non-GMO, and clean, healthy products, and we're working to keep our communities safe. We offer contactless shopping, social distancing, and we're sanitizing. Our staff, which includes certified nutritionists, take pride in helping you make informed product choices. We look forward to continuing to serve your family for many more years to come. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane. Shasta Gas has been in business for 23 years, and my daughter, Karen, has worked here for 22 of those years. She started out driving our big delivery truck, filling tanks when it was 110 degrees in the summer and in the snow in the winter. Many years ago, she moved from delivery and field work to the office with my wife, Judy. Judy is retired, and now Karen is taking over her responsibilities. To further our commitment to locally owned and family operated businesses in Shasta County, I'm introducing my daughter Karen to you, so if you call the office and I'm not here, ask for her or her husband Jason. Karen, please say hi.
Hi, this is Karen Wehunt, Chuck's daughter. Since Chuck and Judy are spending more time together outside of the business, my husband Jason and I are here holding down the fort. We are here to answer any questions you may have and to continue the great service our customers have received these many years. Please give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Hi, I'm Sue Blake with Powerhouse Solar. Solar energy not only makes financial sense, but right now you can go solar for zero money down. At Powerhouse Solar, we install the most cost-effective and highest efficiency panels from SunPower. And with the electric company's rolling blackouts, Powerhouse Solar can make sure your family is not left in the dark. We have generators and battery backup systems designed for your specific needs. Call Powerhouse Solar today at 275-5600 or visit us on the web at powerhousesolar.com.
Don't distance yourself from your goals. At Shasta College, you can earn transfer-ready credits from the comfort of your couch or get job-ready for that high-demand career with convenient, cost-effective classes that work for you. Register now for fall classes. The semester starts August 17th, and now is the perfect time to take control of your future. Visit our website at shastacollege.edu or call 242-7500. Start your tomorrow today at Shasta College.
12-9970.
I was in the hospital with my son for 18 months.
When he got injured, I wasn't prepared, but I knew I had to be strong.
When I was told about John's injury, I was in complete shock. I just remember rushing into his room and giving him a big hug and letting him know I was there.
These veterans and families are just a few of the heroes we serve at Homes for Our Troops. For thousands of severely injured veterans, everyday life is filled with barriers.
It was really the little things throughout the house. Counters that you can't roll up to.
I had to drag my wheelchair down steps.
I want to help, but he is so determined.
At Homes for Our Troops, we build specially adapted custom homes with features like wheelchair access, roll-in showers, and automatic door openers that allow them to function independently and focus on their recovery and family.
This house is freedom.
It's hope. It's a new beginning.
This house has given me my family back.
To learn more, visit hfotusa.org.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. We're taking your calls at 855-236-3228. That's 855-236-3228. Mike in Utah, you're on the Ben Shapiro Show. Go for it, Mike.
Hi, Ben. I have a two-part question for you, and I'm sorry if you've already answered this. I just want to know what your prediction is if Trump does win. Are we expecting to see more destruction and chaos going to be coming from the left? And if Biden wins, what do we expect to see? Are we going to see them go through with their agenda right off the bat, or do you think they're going to make small incremental changes throughout his term?
Yeah, Mike, so I think that if Trump wins, you're going to see a radical uptick in violence because the left is already engaging in violence as a sort of blackmail tactic, saying if you get rid of Trump, then maybe we'll kind of go back to normal. And that's why you're seeing even Joe Biden sort of pat this on the head. He'll say, yeah, the violence is wrong, but it's Trump's fault for sending federal troops in to stop the invasion of federal courthouses. I think that tacit deal is well understood by a lot of the violent protesters and looters, and I think that it is very likely, and it's certainly understood by the mayors, who will shut this stuff down immediately upon Trump's exiting office or losing the election. As far as if Joe Biden wins, I think that you will see them move very, very quickly on a number of policy fronts, because this is one of the things politicians very often get wrong. They don't understand that if they're incremental in their approach when they first start, they can consolidate support. Instead, they tend to read broad victories as a mandate for broad programs. That's usually not right. Usually Americans are not voting for something. They're voting against something. That's just typical in presidential elections. Okay. Whoever a presidential election is a referendum on loses, right? So in 2016, the media got it wrong. A lot of people got it wrong because they thought it was going to be a referendum on Trump. It turned out to be a referendum on Hillary Clinton because people didn't like Hillary. Well, Biden, it's hard to have a referendum on him because he's dead. So that means it's probably going to be a referendum on Trump, which is why he's in trouble here. But it's easy to interpret a referendum against your opponent as a referendum for you. George W. Bush did this in 2004. So it was a referendum against John Kerry. And instead, George W. Bush sort of took it as, well, this means that everybody's into my Social Security and immigration plans. He's like, I have a mandate for that stuff. He immediately ran that up the flagpole, got shot down. In 2006, the Democrats retake Congress. In 2008, Barack Obama gets elected, largely in a reaction to John McCain and really more in a reaction to George W. Bush. And he immediately says, well, you know what this was? This wasn't even approval of sort of my post-racial campaign. What this really is approval of Obamacare and giant stimulus packages and blowing out the spending. And the American people are like, well, not so much. And in 2010, the Republicans retake Congress. You saw the same thing in 2016. Trump sort of saw his victory as a mandate for particular programs and mostly a mandate for his personality, right? He saw it as like, well, I can say whatever I want. And then in 2018, the American people were like, well, no, you can't. And then they just gave Congress back to the Democrats in overwhelming fashion. So I could easily see Joe Biden do the same thing. I think he'll push really hard on a public option. I think you'll see him push really hard on a massive tax increase. I think that you'll see him push extraordinarily hard on heavy business regulations. He'll use the power of the Consumer Finance Protection Bureau in order to crack down on major American companies. And then I think there'll be a pretty significant backlash come 2022. I think Republicans will take back Congress in 2022 if Biden does all those things, which I think he probably will.
Okay, and I have one more question. I mean, is there anything that Republicans can do if Biden were to, get elected? I mean, do we see any backlash coming from Republicans for this? I mean, is there anything? I mean, are we going to lose the Republican-controlled Senate at all? I mean, what do you see happening?
I mean, I'm very concerned about the Republican-controlled Senate. I mean, if you look at the Real Clear Politics polling average right now in the Senate, there's a very good shot the Democrats pick up the Senate simply because of how unpopular President Trump is. I mean, right now, if there were no toss-ups, right now, according to Real Clear Politics, Democrats take the Senate 52-48, which is a disaster area. Democrats, because they're already making clear. I mean, Barack Obama said it openly today, and Joe Biden has already suggested it. They want to get rid of the filibuster. They get rid of the filibuster, they're going to cram craft through with 52 votes. They're going to cram through a public option with 52 votes. They're going to cram through tax increases. They're going to slash the military. They're going to uptick universal basic income. I mean, they're really going to change a lot. And that is because there are a lot of races right now within that margin of error. Right now, for example, North Carolina is Tom Tillis right now is trailing by 6 in the North Carolina race, which is really bad. There's polling from Maine that shows Susan Collins possibly going down. Right now, her opponent is up by nearly 5 points. The Kelly in Arizona is winning and is beating Martha McSally by 6 points. Iowa is very close. That one's basically dead even. But Montana is a toss-up, so that could easily go Democrat. It's ugly out there right now for Republicans. And if Trump continues to flounder around, and if he continues to say incredibly dumb things that force Republicans to defend him every day, it's going to make life a lot more difficult. Republicans are stuck between a rock and a hard place with Trump, because on the one hand, if they don't defend Trump, then Trump tweets at them and tries to undercut them with a base. And number two, if they do defend him, they lose the middle. I mean, Trump's making it more difficult. I got to say, like, if you're a senator right now, this is not an easy time to be a senator. I've discussed this with senators and Congress people. The least you can do as president of the United States is make sure that your party doesn't lose the Senate. And right now, this is a map that really should not favor Democrats. It is favoring Democrats because Trump is doing so badly right now. So things better turn around right quick, Mike.
Okay, Ben. I think that's basically all I had.
Well, I appreciate it, Mike.
And I really do appreciate everything you do, and you know how you bring everything. You really show like how much is really at stake. So I do appreciate it.
I appreciate
that.
It, Mike. Thanks for listening to the show, Nathan, in Pennsylvania, on the Ben Shapiro Show. Go for it.
Ben, how are you? Huge fan. Congrats on the new book. My question is involving Hillary Clinton's emails and John Podesta's emails. You hear lots of people talking about, you know, the big scandal, how she acid washed this and, you know, Julian Assange that. But what I find extremely concerning is that no one's actually talking about, or no one in the mainstream is actually talking about what they found on those emails and John Podesta's emails, Hillary Clinton's emails. No one's talking about what they found, the video they found on Anthony Weiner's laptop involving some very, very sadistic stuff involving children. And it's really concerning that they're all focused on a vague description of the scandal versus what is actually happening, what they're talking about in these emails. I was hoping maybe you could touch on that.
Well, I know that there was an investigation into Anthony Weiner's weird sexting photos, because apparently in one of the photos his kid sort of shows up in the photo, right? I mean, it was really strange. As far as sort of what was in Hillary's emails, there wasn't anything that was supremely nefarious uncovered by the emails other than top secret material that shouldn't have been on a private server. So it wasn't like there was all sorts of conspiratorial stuff about killing Jeffrey Epstein in the emails, for example. In the Podesta emails, there was some talk about, some centered, I would say, typical political talk that was fairly ugly about Hillary's opponents. But as far as there being, you know, some sort of uncovered scandalous material other than the fact that Hillary had been violating the law, which she clearly was, I'm not sure what else there was. I mean, Anthony Weiner did go on that. There was an investigation into Anthony Weiner after this. There was an investigation of child porn because, again, he had this picture of himself in a crotch shot with his son in the shot. But, you know, the email scandal was less about the content of the emails than the fact that she set up a private server in the first place so as to conveniently lose emails. I mean, we didn't get all the emails, right? I mean, there's still emails that are missing.
Okay. Well, it was just my big concern is, and I don't mean to get to delve too far into the conspiracy theory aspect of it, but on kind of what's going around, not in the mainstream, is that there's a lot involved in human trafficking and code words. And
yeah, no, I don't buy any of that stuff. I've seen no evidence to support any of that stuff, and those sorts of rumors that are going around are based on absence of evidence. So I'm not going to pretend that I give that stuff any credence at all. I think people who do are making a mistake. Nathan, I appreciate it. Bayan in Chino Hills, California, on the Ben Shapiro Show. Go for it, Bayan.
Hey, Ben, it's an honor. Thank you for having me. My question is ultimately about capitalism, but to set the stage, any human system in isolation always has a potentially fatal flaw. in democracy, it would be that the majority can vote in a way that infringes on the well-being and lives of the individual or the minority. As such, one would implement an enforceable doctrine, such as a Bill of Rights or a constitution, in order to mitigate this potentially fatal flaw. However, when it comes to capitalism, which is designed to maximize the free and willing trade of goods, services, and ideas, and is generally ideal, its potentially fatal flaw is that people who do not have anything valuable to offer or trade for cannot properly participate in the economic trading and ultimately become destitute. Please correct me if I'm wrong, but as far as I know, your expressed solution to this is benevolence or charity through not-for-profit or religious organizations. So my question is, since the principle of charity and benevolence without an enforceable system or doctrine that is independent and outside of the current system does not apply to and is not even proposed as a viable solution for any other system, such as a democracy, why does it seem appropriate for capitalism?
So this is an excellent question, but I mean, really, really good question. So the answer is that any other solution, a solution that gives government, for example, the power to compel redistribution, then infringes on individual rights in a different way. So the answer is that you do not have, in terms of rights, a right to somebody else's money. That does not mean that there will not be poverty, which is why you do rely on charity. The problem is that the countervailing solution, which is to give government the unbridled power to vitiate some people's rights in favor of other people's entitlements, is a significantly greater threat to individual rights than the possibility of charity filling in the gap. And the truth is that charitable organizations for most of human history have filled in that gap. Now, there are situations in which local governments, right? I've always said that there's a difference between the federal government and local and state governments on this. So what I've said is that the methods of support for people who are sick or ill or don't have a skill set that is valuable, for example, the methods of support for those people tends to follow the following pattern, and it should follow this pattern. Family support, community support, local government support, state government support, federal government support. The problem that I have is that what we've done is we've reversed the order. Now it's the feds are supposed to support you first, then the states, then the localities, and then we don't even care about the family or charities supporting you. We just get rid of those possible solutions. And what we end up with is a bizarre reverse spillover effect. The government should be the last resort of support for people who can't support themselves. And there's a role for that, particularly at the local level, where, again, homogeneity of a community in terms of value systems means that more people are going to agree to get involved with that system than any other. It's one thing to ask me to support people I don't know 3,000 miles away with an exorbitantly high tax rate that takes into account transaction costs. And another thing to ask me that my local community and I, we are going to take care of the people in our local community. I mean, that is essentially a church model. It's just extended to compulsion via government. There are a lot of churches and synagogues that do this, by the way, is that in your synagogue or church membership is a pledge that you're going to give a certain amount to charity, right, via the church. That does exist in an enforceable way. The problem that I'm spotting by is that the countervailing solution, which is to give government the unbridled power to invade personal economic rights on behalf of redistributionism, has no limiting principle.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I actually appreciate the order because that order seems appropriate to me as well. And it is essentially something so that ultimately the individual who cannot participate is taken care of, but that we start with the closest people around that person and kind of draw the circle further out as we go along.
Exactly, exactly. And again, that doesn't mean there aren't going to be situations in which there are people who need to be taken care of. I've talked publicly about the fact that I think that people who are deeply mentally ill, the state has a role in making sure that those people are taken care of because they literally cannot take care of themselves. The problem is we've extended that out to include people who are not mentally ill, people who can have skill sets. We've incentivized people not to work. In fact, we're seeing that happen right now with regard to this latest quote-unquote stimulus bill where people are being paid more than they would normally be paid in order to work. Right? That's an actual troublesome thing. Bayan, really appreciate the call. Take more of your calls coming up at 855-236-3228. That is 855-236-3228. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
America, your children have an amazing superpower. That's right. They can help save lives by simply washing their hands. Just 20 seconds of thorough hand washing after they've coughed or sneezed or been outside can help fight against the dastardly spread of germs. Armed with only soap and water and hands, your superhero can protect you, your family, and everyone out there in America land. Amazing! Find out more at coronavirus.gov. A message from the CDC and the Ad Council.
In uncertain times, you can be certain of this. The Salvation Army is serving those most in need with help and hope. Thanks to your donations, the Salvation Army is helping those affected by COVID-19, those who've lost wages, who have no home to retreat to, who need food, help you.
You always wanted to finish your degree. Now is the time, and Simpson University is still open. Our adult degree completion program is flexible, convenient, and affordable. We know you are busy, so you can attend classes here in the Reading area or online and finish your bachelor's degree in as little as 12 to 16 months. Our programs are affordable, convenient, and flexible. Classes are beginning soon. To learn more about how to finish your degree and advance your career, go to simpson.edu or call 530-226-4606.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
From the IRS.
Civic Tax Relief basically represented me against the IRS, and by the time everything was completed, I didn't owe the IRS anything.
Find out about the Fresh Start program that is now available through Civic Tax Relief. Civic Tax Relief's special tax hotline can help you discover all the relief programs available for free.
I would recommend anyone who has a tax problem to contact Civic Tax Relief.
Just call 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908. Don't wait. Call now. 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Our number 855-236-3228. 855-236-3228. Nicholas in Salt Lake City, Utah. You're on the Ben Shapiro Show. Go for it, Nicholas.
Hi. So my question is, after the recent Bill Barr hearing and the big tech hearing that's been House Judiciary Committee, I mean, it was an absolute joke what happened to Barr. I feel like they should just cut out Barr and stuck it in there and just yelled at it. And so I'm like, from your perspective, from a lawyer's perspective, what kind of changes would you make to these kind of hearings to make them more productive? Because I feel like every time I watch them, they don't really amount to anything.
Stop televising them. Honestly, that's the number one answer. Stop televising them. The point of televising them is that all the Congress people get their moment in the sun. And these are all egoistic people. I mean, seriously, if you've met enough Congress people, the reason they run for Congress very often is for the ego boost of it. It is not for the public service. And so what it ends up being is a moment to posture. Stop televising these things, and a lot of this goes away nearly immediately. So that would be the answer. Also, congressional hearings generally are pretty stupid. Make them written in orientation. I'm very much a fan of writing because it allows people the chance to actually think about what they are saying as opposed to these sort of gotcha moments. You know, the normal way that you would do a State of the Union address, for example, originally George Washington would just submit a letter on the State of the Union to Congress. You wouldn't have these big kind of showy speeches. I like that better. I think that we can get rid of the show of government. I don't like the show of government. I think the show of government is incredibly stupid. It makes it too important in our lives. And frankly, it's bad entertainment. So get it off the TV. Do things in writing rather than in these sort of in-person and question grilling sessions that are designed merely to elicit responses you can use in TV ads.
Yeah. Like, I'm just surprised because mostly congresspeople are usually former lawyers, former prosecutors, former judges, or and like, how do you guys not know how to discourse in a judicial format? You know, because they're asking these yes and no questions, and not even giving him a chance to respond. Like they're not, these are complex issues that can't be just described with a yes and no.
Yeah, you know, the fact that they're lawyers takes a backseat to the fact that they're politicians who want to be reelected and they want a campaign ad they can cut. Nicholas, really appreciate the call. Kyle in North Carolina, you're on the Ben Shapiro Show. Go for it, Kyle.
Hi, Ben. So my question is regards to, arguments in support of transgenderism, specifically, more specifically with kids. So a lot of arguments are just like, okay, we just need to accept, if the kid feels this way, we just accept how they are. And, that leads to, crazy things like, transgender surgery, which, to me seems like a high level of like sexual abuse. And so like where, a lot of these arguments in support of doing these things, I feel like could be, used in the same light with like pedophiles. So I was curious if you agree with this or you.
No,
like,
I actually don't.
Like,
a few things. One, I think that gender dysphoria is a mental disorder. Okay. It's classified as such. It is a mental disorder. An attempt to treat it as though a boy who believes he is a girl is not suffering from some sort of disorder is ridiculous. A boy is not a girl. A girl is not a boy. Yeah. And if you are a boy who believes you're a girl, you're suffering from a mental disorder. The reason people treat transgenderism or gender dysphoria as differently from pedophilia is because the great danger from the mental disorder of gender dysphoria is a danger to you, right? You're going to mutilate yourself, or you're going to, be uncomfortable in your own body. The great danger from pedophilia is not the danger to yourself. It's danger to others. So the problem with pedophilia, obviously, is that you have a philia toward children that innately is driving you to damage others in a way that transgenderism is not, right? It's self-oriented transgenderism, whereas pedophilia has externalities. Now, let's be clear about this. There are some on the radical left who have been trying to justify pedophilia for a long time. They've been saying that pedophilia is just another orientation. To crack down on orientation is wrong. So long as pedophiles are not actually targeting children, then we shouldn't treat pedophilia as anything out of the ordinary. We should treat it as somewhat ordinary. I remember there was a column in Slate magazine that was making exactly this argument a couple of years ago. But there obviously is a fairly significant distinction between the treatment of gender dysphoria and the treatment of pedophilia, simply because the consequences of gender dysphoria are wildly different than the consequences of pedophilia. Namely, there are no outside parties who are damaged for gender dysphoria, other than sort of the emotional damage attendant upon having somebody who's a member of the family who suffers from a disorder, as opposed to pedophilia, which is specifically directed and oriented against damaging children.
That makes sense.
I appreciate it, Kyle.
Well, thanks so much.
Thanks for the call. Malky in Brooklyn, New York, you're on the Ben Shapiro Show. Go for it, Malky.
Hi, Ben. How are you?
Doing okay. How are you?
Good. Hope you had an easy fast. Just a quick question. I was wondering if there are any topics you feel have been over-questioned or beaten to death by now that you're sick of getting questions on. And conversely, are there topics you wish more people would ask about?
Topics that I'm sick of being asked about? I would say whenever I'm asked about old tweets, that's annoying because, frankly, I've talked about them all before, just like everybody else in public life. I've addressed all the stuff that I've said before many, many times. That's always irritating. And you can see me get irritated in public television interviews when asked about that stuff. But as far as stuff that I would ask more about, if I'll run for president is one that's irritating because, like, I don't have a good answer to that. Sorry. Like, my answer is basically no, unless there are some extraordinary, exorbitant, crazy circumstance. Stuff that I wish that I were asked more about. Whenever people ask me about structural constitutional questions, whenever people ask me about founding ideology, that's the stuff I love to answer because I think that that's the stuff that's truly deeply important. Philosophical questions, I think, are really interesting. Whether I think Trump will win is one that I get over-asked because I don't have any greater insight into that than I think anybody else does. I think very oftentimes what people are saying is, please tell me that the polls are completely wrong and nonsense. And I can't tell you that. And I feel bad I can't tell you that, but I can't tell you that.
Yeah, no, I hear that. It's sometimes when people ask questions, I wonder, like, what they expect. Like, obviously, I mean, no one expected coronavirus. Like, how could we know what's going to happen in the next 4 weeks that could impact whatever the election would be?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, whenever people ask you future-oriented questions that are not sort of broad, when people ask, what do you think Biden's going to do after the election, that's one thing. When people ask you, like, who do you think is going to win a particular Senate race? I can give you, like, the best current data, but I have no idea what's going to happen over the next few weeks, as you say, Malky. So I appreciate the call. All righty, coming up, we have a big hour for you. We're going to be joined by the head of Customs and Border Patrol to talk about everything that is going on in Portland. We're also going to be talking about Barack Obama revealing once again why he was such a bad president. And he's a bad ex-president, too. We'll get to that in just a moment. In the meantime, go out and pick up a copy of my book, How to Destroy America in 3 Easy Steps. It has been soaring up the bestseller charts. It has sold, I believe, nearly 100,000 total copies over the course of the first week alone. So it is just flying off shelves. So go check that out right now. It's got an audiobook that I read, which means you can actually listen to the audiobook in 7 minutes, 27 seconds flat. Otherwise, pick up a copy for yourself. Pick up a copy for a liberal friend. The book is not designed to be a simple left-bashing tool. It's designed to rebut a lot of the assumptions made by the radical left people I call disintegrationists. I think a lot of liberals will actually agree with it. It could be a unifying book, is my great hope. Go check out a copy of it this weekend, How to Destroy America in 3 Easy Steps, available everywhere that books are sold. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRostra. President Trump says he'll take action as soon as Saturday to ban the Chinese-owned video app TikTok from the United States. Mr. Trump made the announcement to reporters on Friday as he returned from Florida aboard Air Force One. The company's operations in the U.S. have been under review by the Committee on Foreign Investment in the U.S. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis declaring a state of emergency for his Sunshine State's Atlantic coast as Hurricane Isaias approaches.
I want Floridians to know the state of Florida is fully prepared for this and any future storm during this hurricane season. The Division of Emergency Management has had the state operations center at level one since March.
Further north, authorities in North Carolina ordered the evacuation of Ocracoke Island, which was slammed by last year's Hurricane Dorian. That evacuation starts tomorrow night. Meanwhile, officials in the Bahamas had evacuated people in Abaco who had been living in the temporary structures there since Dorian hit last year. The National Hurricane Center says heavy rains associated with the storm may begin to affect south and east central Florida beginning late Friday night and the eastern Carolinas by early next week, potentially resulting in isolated flash and urban flooding. Senate Democrats have blocked a Republican effort to extend unemployment benefits under the CARES Act.
Alaska Republican Dan Sullivan says given a stalemate on a broader bill, it was a great compromise.
We'll continue the unemployment levels paid to Americans that were in the CARES Act for another week.
A proposal that died a quick death when it was blocked
by the Senate Minority Leader without a real explanation.
Senator Schumer blasting the extension and the larger GOP proposal.
Skinny, dingy, not up to the moment.
Lawmakers will try to craft a new compromise next week. Bob Agnew reporting.
News and analysis at townhall.com.
Blue Star medicated ointment works fast to relieve the pain and itch of almost any skin irritation.
It's amazing. It's like as soon as you put it on, you can feel it working.
We've had Blue Star in the family for years. It works on everything.
I love the cooling sensation on my athlete's foot.
What a relief for my eczema.
Nothing worked on my dry, cracked skin until I tried Blue Star.
Blue Star is great for scalp itch.
Look for the white box with the Blue Star in the first aid section. Feel Blue Star work fast or your money back.
Relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your 3-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your 3-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
NASA had to work out some glitches, and now its new Mars rover is on its way to the red planet.
It is, in fact, on its way to Mars.
NASA Administrator Jim Bridenstine says shortly after its Thursday morning liftoff, the Mars rover Perseverance went into a safe mode after a temperature alarm. There was also a communication glitch.
We do need to,
fine-tune our receiving stations on the ground.
But both have been resolved. If all goes well, the rover will land on Mars in February and pick up rock samples to be retrieved in 2026. China and the United Arab Emirates also have spacecraft en route to Mars after launching last week. I'm Jackie Quinn.
As automakers introduce more models powered by electricity, there may not be enough public charging stations to handle the load. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. The Trump administration found a friend in the Supreme Court in an ongoing border wall funding case.
The 5-4 vote goes against lawyers for the Sierra Club and House Democrats, who argue the president unconstitutionally transferred Pentagon funds on the basis of his February 2019 National Emergency Declaration. The court's decision leaves in place a year-old stay, which they issued, which continues to allow more than $6 billion from military funds to finance border wall construction in four states neighboring Mexico. The challengers fear the wall will be completed even before the court decides to take up the case on its merits. George Bonzani reporting.
The popular grocery chain Trader Joe's says it will not be changing its ethnic-sounding labels in its line of Mexican, Chinese, and other international foods, adding they're not racist. They say they've got no problem with labels like Trader Jose's, Trader Ming's, and Arabian Joe. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The Fat Bowl and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. Tobacco and Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. Tobacco and Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge with Brad Dacus.
Pacific Justice Institute offers a free seminar and a comprehensive video that will help business leaders break through this fear to legally live and share their faith with their employees, customers, and communities in ways they never would have dreamed or imagined before.
Stay informed on religious freedoms. Receive our weekly email newsletter, The Legal Insider, at pji.org.
Hey, and welcome. This is The Ben Shapiro Show. Got a lot coming up for you this hour, a little bit later on in the hour. Alice from Heritage Foundation. He's got a brand new book out. Plus, Morgan from Customs and Border Patrol to talk about the use of CBP agents and the rioting and the looting on federal territory in Portland. We begin at this hour with the exploitation of death and suffering that happened over the last 24 hours at the memorial service for Julie. This was pretty despicable. So the John Lewis Memorial, much of it was beautiful. Much of it was wonderful. I will point out that there are a lot of Americans today who are very unhappy with the event enough. Prominent enough, then you get a huge memorial service. If your mother died in a hospital, you still have not been able to her. But if you're prominent enough, people will fly in from all over the country and crowd into a small church in order to do service to you. But in any case, there's a lot of the service that was quite wonderful and quite beautiful. There are a couple of really good speeches. George W. Bush in particular gave a very good speech about the former president had to say, remember, George W. Bush was a vicious racist until he wasn't in office. Then he became wonderful. This is what happens to every Republican. Look forward to the time 2 years from now or 5 years from now when Donald Trump is seen as the statesman, the elder statesman of the Republican Party, because whoever is the new Republican is worse than Trump, is George W. Bush being a classy person, which he always was.
We, the people, including congressmen and presidents, can have differing views on how to perfect our union while sharing the conviction that our nation, however flawed, is at heart a good and noble one. We live in a better and nobler country today because in his abiding faith in the power of God, power of democracy, and in the power of love to a higher ground.
So that is a classy president. So now let me show you a not this Barack Obama. So Barack Obama, how so many in the media are like, how did Donald Trump ever, how is he ever elected president? Gaslit us about this eminently political figure for 8 long years. He pretended that this guy was a statesman who was seeking unity in the country when he was seeking an extraordinary way. George W. Bush was much more unifying than Barack Obama, just as a human being. Barack Obama was innately political, a Chicago machine politician who sought to divide Americans while simultaneously throwing out a few sort of platitudes about red states and blue states. Proof positive yesterday at the John Lewis Memorial, Barack Obama jumps in both feet into politics and claims that are the same as that Derek Chauvin is just the legacy of American brutality, that George Wallace lives on, to which somebody should point out the only person still active in American politics who worked with George Wallace is Joe Biden, his vice president. Anyway, here's Barack Obama getting super political at John Lewis's memorial.
Bull Connor may be gone, but today we witness with our own eyes police officers kneeling on the necks of black Americans. George Wallace may be gone, but we can witness our federal government sending agents to use tear gas and batons against peaceful demonstrators.
It's just like Bull Connor. I mean, it's so disgusting. The life that John Lewis led in the 1960s, the life being led by black Americans, is patently insane. It's patently insane. The evidence to back it does not exist. And continue to maintain that because, again, it allows him to pretend that he is, in fact, leading a movement towards something better rather than tearing down the country for such unbelievable racial problems of his lifetime. And Barack Obama is not read his book, Dreams for My Father. This is not someone who suffered from tremendous racial discrimination. He grew up in Hawaii, okay, and he was raised by his white grandparents. Like, this is not somebody who suffered the slings and arrows of John Lewis's life. That is not, and yet he continues to go out there and demagogue this stuff. He didn't stop there, by the way. He then suggested that the filibuster is a Jim Crow relic, the Senate filibuster. Now, I'm old enough to remember when Barack Obama himself used the filibuster against Samuel Alito, George W. Bush's appointee to the Supreme Court. I'm old enough to remember, because I'm older than 5 minutes old, when Democrats filibustered Tim Scott's police reform bill. But according to Barack Obama, if you stand in favor of the Senate filibuster because you believe that there should be checks and balances on pure majoritarianism, then you are actually a racist. You're a racist. And also you're a racist if you don't want statehood for Washington, D.C. and or Puerto Rico. Now, the entire Democratic infrastructure right now is yelling at Trump because Trump suggested delaying the election. And they should yell at him. It's a terrible suggestion. They're saying he's undermining the institutions of American democracy. Well, Democrats do this every single day as well. Barack Obama is undermining fundamental institutions and checks and balances of American republicanism that prevent the majority from running roughshod over the minority. Which, by the way, is one of the great stories of American history, is how easily majorities can run roughshod over the rights of minorities if they are not checked. That, in fact, is the story of Jim Crow, is majorities violating the rights of minorities when there are no outside federal checks. Now, here's Barack Obama suggesting that if you are in favor of the filibuster, you are now a racist, because that's the way this bizarre garbage works.
Once we passed the John Lewis Voting Rights Act, we should keep marching by guaranteeing that every American citizen has equal representation in our government, including the American citizens who live in Washington, D.C. and in Puerto Rico. And if all this takes eliminating the filibuster, another Jim Crow relic, in order to secure the God-given rights of every American, then that's what we should do.
Now, I have a question. Isn't this a memorial for John Lewis? Like, isn't this a memorial? Like, isn't John Lewis, like, wasn't he a congressperson? And isn't the memorial for a person who just died? Why is Barack Obama treating it as a political rally? The answer is because everything was political to Obama. This is not the first time he's done this. I remember he did this at the memorial for people who were slain in a mass shooting in Arizona. It was disgusting. He used that opportunity to stump for gun control and rail against Republicans who supposedly were at fault for this mass shooting in Arizona, despite the fact the person who committed the mass shooting was mentally deranged. That's who Barack Obama is and was. He didn't just stop there, by the way. Then he went on to suggest that there's an active attempt to suppress black votes in America. This is just not true. The evidence for this does not exist. No one is trying to stop black people from voting. All over the United States, in highly fraught races, black Americans vote more than their share of the population. In fact, Barack Obama's margin of victory in states like Ohio in 2012 was based on black Americans showing up to the polls more than their share of the population in the state of Ohio, for example. But here's Barack Obama claiming that America is still in thrall to white racists who want to stop black people from voting, which is insane. He was the two-time black president of the United States.
There are those in power who are doing their darndest to discourage people from voting by closing polling locations and targeting minorities and students with restrictive ID laws and attacking our voting rights with surgical precision. Now, I know this is a celebration of John's life. There are some who might say we shouldn't dwell on such things. But that's why I'm talking about it.
Oh, well, you know, there's some people who say we should ignore racism, but I'm not one of those. I say we should talk about racism. He's such a demagogue. And then Democrats go, oh, well, how did Trump get elected? Why would you elect this demagogic loudmouth who politicizes everything? Now, the gaslighting that went on for years about Barack Obama, that this was a man of class and dignity, and that he was a president who was seeking to bring Americans together around common causes. He was the most polarizing president of my lifetime. Donald Trump just follows in those footsteps. The nonsense that politics began with Donald Trump is just nonsense. What a display. What an egregious display of political disrepute by Barack Obama there. Really, really gross. Again, at an event, a memorial for a man whose legacy should be unifying. And there's Barack Obama dividing us again by pretending that America is a deeply systemically racist place in which black people are systematically being deprived of the vote. Very, very ugly stuff from Barack Obama, but not a shock because that was in large part his presidency. It was an ugly presidency. It was a bad presidency. He's a decent man in his family life, but he was an indecent politician. He remains an indecent politician. Alrighty, in just a moment, we're going to be talking with the head of the Customs and Border Patrol, talking about their contribution to shutting down violation of federal law in Portland, among other cities, in just one second. First, let us talk about how you can increase your energy level and lower your blood pressure with something simple and delicious. I'm talking about Super Beats. Oh, yeah, there's the echo. Super Beats soft chews. They combine non-GMO beets with a powerful new ingredient, grapeseed extract. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beats chews has been clinically shown to be twice as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Better blood pressure means more energy the way nature intended, without the jittery caffeine or the stimulants. Now you can take just two delicious chews a day, anytime, anywhere, get the blood pressure support you need and the energy that you want. Do what I have done. Recommend to your employees that they take Super Beats. Get your Super Beats chews today at GetSuperBeats.com/Ben. When you buy two bags, they throw in the third for free. That's GetSuperBeats.com/Ben. My employees have been taking them. Their energy level is up. Their blood pressure is down, which is good because I annoy the living hell out of them, so they need Super Beats chews. Go get your Super Beats chews today at GetSuperBeats.com/Ben. Get those two bags, and they will throw in the third for free. Super Beats. GetSuperBeats.com/Ben. Already coming up, we'll be joined by the head of the Customs and Border Patrol agency to talk about exactly how they are shutting down violation of federal law. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
In uncertain times, you can be certain of this. The Salvation Army is serving those most in need with help and hope. Thanks to your donations, the Salvation Army is helping those affected by COVID-19, those who've lost wages, who have no home to retreat to, who need food, help with utilities, and most of all, hope. To see how you can continue to make a difference, visit givewestwood.org, givewestwood.org.
If your idea of a big, bold summer is hanging out around the backyard barbecue, I've got a snack that will fit right in. Southern Recipe Small Batch Pork Rinds. Yep, it's a bold-flavored snack that's more craveable than potato chips and the perfect low-carb alternative to breadcrumbs in your favorite recipe. You gotta try the Korean Kimchi Barbecue, Spicy Dill, Pasilla Chili Cheese, and Blackberry Habanero Pork Rinds. This summer, start your own flavor adventure by downloading our coupon and finding new recipes at porkrinds.com. That's porkrinds.com.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Who hasn't felt protective lately of our families, our communities, our resources? In times like these, we all fight to make sure our people are safe. But at the American Cancer Society, our people, our community, our family is made up of millions of cancer patients and their families. So keeping them safe takes everyone's help. During COVID-19, help us keep vital resources available to cancer patients. Please donate to the American Cancer Society at cancer.org.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. We're joined on the line by Mark Morgan. He's senior official performing the duties of the Commissioner of U.S. Customs and Border Protection, ensuring the effective operations of CBP's mission to protect national security while promoting economic prosperity. Mark, thanks for joining Ben Shapiro Show. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely, Ben.
So let's talk about the role that CBP is playing in places like Portland. Obviously, federal law allows for the shifting of personnel from CBP to other branches of federal law enforcement to protect federal property. So what role is CBP playing in places like Portland?
You know, Ben, not only does it allow, but Title 40, Section USC 1350 actually mandates that the secretary will, must, shall protect the almost 9,000 federal facilities we have. And anytime, and this isn't the first time we've done this, we've done it in the previous administrations and previous administrations before that. Whenever we have credible actual intelligence or information that, a federal building is a, you know, a high threat or a heightened threat, FPS, the Federal Protective Service, they'll ask for other DHS resources to come in and help them do just that, their statutory responsibility, and CBP is part of DHS. That's how it started. That's what we're doing in Portland.
So can you give us the latest from the ground in Portland? Because we're hearing a lot of Democrats suggest on Capitol Hill that these are peaceful protesters. It's basically just a bunch of peaceful protesters, and then everything went out of control when the federal agents arrived. That everybody was sort of hanging out and having a party, and then the feds got there, and all of a sudden all hell broke loose. So what's the actual story?
That's just preposterous. That's just a talking point. It's a political talking point. I've been doing this for 30 years, law enforcement, and it is absolutely politics being placed above public safety. And the last thing I'll say, it's just a lie. Your listeners need to understand that the violence and the anarchy was happening weeks prior to our arrival to protect the Hatfield Courthouse. We had specific information that these anarchists, these criminals, were going to attack the federal courthouse. We showed up. We were inside that first night, Ben. Inside, the courthouse was attacked. Windows busted. Front doors busted down. And they actually tried to breach the front doors, burn it down, assault our agents. It's only then that we went outside for the first time, and that has happened every single night for the past 60 nights until the state police actually came down and worked with us to do our job.
We're seeing Commissioner Mark Morgan of Customs and Border Protection. He has agents on the ground in Portland right now. So what do you make of the amazingly overstated critiques of federal law enforcement made by members of the media, made by members of Congress? I've heard in just the last week members of federal law enforcement compared to the Gestapo by a sitting member of Congress. I've heard them compared to old Bull Connor police forces. What do you make of all this?
It's outrageous. It's reckless. It's unbelievable to me that we have elected leaders that are calling the men and women who are risking their lives every single day, Ben, names like that. It's disgusting. I'm actually getting ready today to fly to a southwest border sector where we had another Border Patrol agent die in the line of duty because of COVID, marking 9 just this year alone. That's what's happening. They're actually giving their lives to defending this country, and you have irresponsible and reckless statements like that being made. It's absolutely disgusting.
Speaking of Commissioner Mark Morgan of the U.S. Customs and Border Protection, so how are the agents on the ground doing? I mean, we've heard a lot about the Wall of Moms and the wonderful protesters over in Portland, but we're hearing stories that the agents are some of the agents on the ground in Portland have actually been blinded by these high-powered lasers that are being shined at them, that they're being burned by fireworks that are being shot into the federal courthouse. How are the agents on the ground actually doing?
Well, that's exactly right, Ben. I mean, right now we've had over 245 separate injuries of our folks that are on that ground. We have a couple that probably will never fully regain their eyesight. That's where we're being torn right now. And I could go on and on and on. You know, but you know what? I think they're doing okay because they believe in what they do. They get up every single day. They know why they're there. They have the statutory authority to do it, and they are doing what they need to do within the law, and they're doing it exactly as how they should. And I really think they're proud to do what they're doing right now.
So let's talk for a second about whether there are going to be operations for CBP in other parts of the country. We've seen unrest all over the country. We've seen attacks on federal property all over the country. Do you see any, in the near future, any deployment of CBP agents in other areas of the country, Commissioner Morgan?
So, Ben, I think that's a great question because we need to separate, like Operation Legend, that
right.
I think most people have heard right now that the DOJ is really leading. That's to go to areas like, you know, Chicago, Kansas City, where we've seen an increase of overall violent crime. So you're going to see federal agents go there working with state and locals to really address violent crime in the specific areas. That's not what happened in Portland. Portland is specifically a narrow situation where they're violently attacking the courthouse. That's where CBP officials would come in to augment FPS to help them protect federal agency. You're going to see individuals like ICE, HSI, the Homeland Security Investigations, team up with DEA, FBI, special investigators that are going to go to cities like Chicago, augment the state and locals on task force to really address the violent crime there. Two really separate tracks, but very important. All under the law enforcement umbrella.
So, Commissioner Morgan, let's talk about border security for a second. I know it's fallen back in sort of the public consciousness, but obviously your office is tasked with ensuring national security along the border. So how's that going? One of the things that we've seen is a rapid uptick in COVID cases, specifically in border areas. Does any of that have to do with the level of illegal immigration across the border? There's been a lot of speculation along those lines.
So I think there's probably a little bit about that, but overall, because of this administration, the use of what we call Title 42, it's not an immigration enforcement a statute or policy. It's a public health policy and statute. So CDC under Title 42 now directs CBP. All those individuals that are trying to illegally enter the country, now what we have the authority to do, instead of introduce them into our congregate setting, which is going to expose our workforce, overwhelm the local health care system, as well as expose increased risk for the migrants, we're able to remove them and return them to Mexico immediately. 90% of who we're encountering trying to illegally enter, we're turning around in under 2 hours back to Mexico. It's been a game changer from a public health perspective.
We're speaking with Commissioner Mark Morgan of U.S. Customs and Border Protection. I know a lot of fans of the administration have also been asking about the status of President Trump's border wall. He's obviously been touting it for years. We've heard sort of conflicting reports about how much wall there is. What is the story on the border wall at this point?
Well, here's the truth, and I think this is very important. It's not a talking points fact. It's a border wall system. It's like nothing we've ever built before with integrated lighting, technology, access roads. It is a system. And even during COVID, we're navigating COVID. We're navigating civil unrest, you know, or the vilification of law enforcement. During this time, we've actually sped up the construction of the border wall system. We have almost 260 miles that have gone in the ground, and I am fully confident we're going to reach our goal of 450 before the end of this calendar year.
Well, Commissioner Mark Morgan of Customs and Border Protection, really appreciate your time, and please convey our thanks to the agents who are on the ground in Portland and all over the United States, not receiving the sort of plaudits that they should be from the media and from our politicians these days. Really appreciate what you're doing, sir.
Thank you. I will do. Thanks, Ben.
All righty. Coming up, we're going to be talking about the NBA and the culture wars, which continue apace. It is frankly insane that there are so many members of our public cadre who are intent on ripping on the federal response in places like Portland. The president of the United States, by the way, has now mentioned that he is going to be sending more feds to Portland. Here was the president of the United States yesterday talking about increasing the forces on the ground in places like Portland.
Our people are staying there to see whether or not they can do it today and tomorrow. And if they don't do it, we will send in the National Guard and we'll take care of it. And we're telling right now these protesters, and many should be arrested because these are professional agitators. These are professional anarchists. These are people that hate our country. So they're working today and probably tomorrow to clean out this beehive of of terrorists. And if they do it, I'm going to be very happy. And then slowly we can start to leave the city. If they don't do it, we'll be sending in the National Guard.
And Trump ain't wrong. He ain't wrong. It's just too bad he keeps undercutting his own presidential campaign because, honestly, he is running against crazy people who are attempting to burn federal property. That is not a hard ground to run upon. Already coming up, we're going to get into the culture wars that continue to rack the nation, ranging from the NBA to CNN. CNN now has a new name for women. Isn't that exciting? They're not women anymore. We have a new name for women. So we'll be getting to CNN's new sobriquet for women don't exist anymore, guys. We'll get to that in just a little bit. Plus, why Charles Barkley is under attack. Apparently, Chuck, the round mound of rebound, is under attack because he says that if you don't kneel for the national anthem, you're not a bad person. That means he's bad. He's bad now. So we'll get to that coming up. In the meantime, go pick up a copy of my brand new book, How to Destroy America in 3 Easy Steps, soaring up the bestseller charts. Pick up a copy for one of your liberal friends as well. Plus, a little bit later on in the hour, we'll be joined by Mike Gonzalez over at Heritage Foundation. His brand new book out. We'll ask him about China policy. A lot coming up for you, so stick around. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
Hey, Linda, show's over. Let's hop in the truck and head over to Country Kitchen for breakfast.
Oh, yeah. Country Kitchen is open for that in-dining experience for breakfast and lunch 7 days a week from 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. And Country Kitchen has their own in-house bakery, everything home-cooked with the freshest ingredients. Can I hear yum?
You can hear cinnamon rolls. Country Kitchen, locally owned for 27 years, located on Hilltop Drive in the Hillcrest Shopping Center.
Let's go.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
For many people, their faith, their family, and their health are the most important things in their life. Every day, the work that I do influences these things. Children go to college, couples move into their first home, people retire, businesses start, and charities are supported. All of this in part because of the work I do. I can make complicated things clearer so people understand them. I can solve problems and find solutions. People need someone to put their interests first. And for many people, I am that someone. I can lend an ear, stand with you during life's ups and downs, and provide that advice at just the right time. That's why I love my job. That's why I'm a financial advisor, Susan Eastman, with Wells Fargo Advisors in Redding, California, 243-7561. Once again, this is Susan Eastman with Wells Fargo Advisors. I'd love to be your financial advisor. Please give me a call at 243-7561.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wing Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
And new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-785-9132. That's 800-785-9132. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-785-9132.
There's a solution to hunger and poverty for millions. Farming families in developing nations can access food and flatten the curve on environmental harm. Nonprofit Trees for the Future is training farming communities to rethink how they farm using trees. Farmers are improving their nutrition and income so they can weather any storm. Learn more at trees.org/radio. That's TREES.org/radio. This message is sponsored by Trees for the Future. Sure.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, the continuation of our cancel culture and our extremely dumb sort of culture wars. It never stops. So the NBA had its premiere last night, and it had its moments. So basically the entire league is now going to kneel for the national anthem. So it started off in the MLB with everybody kneeling before the national anthem, because there was sort of a basic understanding that if you kneel for the national anthem, you're essentially saying the national anthem stands for cruelty and malice, just as the American flag stands for systemic racism. It was wrong when the MLB does it. It is wrong when the NBA does it. And there is something deeply ironic to an extraordinary number of extraordinarily rich young people, most of whom are people of color, complaining that America is systemically racist while earning millions of dollars. Now, there's an attempt to sort of rewrite history here, right? Steve Kerr came out, he said, when we kneel for the anthem, we're just saying we're not living up to the anthem. That's really what we're saying. Okay, that's not how this started. That's not how this started. This started off as the national anthem should not be stood. You can stand for the anthem and still believe that we're never living up to the anthem or the flag. You can do that. You can put your hand over your heart. You can do many, many things. You can make a statement. But to kneel for the anthem obviously gives the idea that you will not stand for the anthem. That is why you are kneeling in the first place. The attempt to rewrite the symbol itself is obviously a pseudo-history that is pasted on to what actually started this whole thing, namely Colin Kaepernick overtly saying that he would not stand for a flag that stood for the oppression of black people. That's what he said at the very outset, despite the revisionist history that set in later on. So there's some of that from the NBA. Then they also decided to put jersey names on the back. The names on the back of the jersey were not going to be the names of the players, so you just have to assume that you know the names of the players. But instead, they're allowing players to put on the back of their jerseys things like how many more and equality and peace. So there was equality, throw it up an alley-oop to peace, who dunks it down. Ironically, also dunking over peace. So peace dunking on peace. I will acknowledge that I think there's something hilarious about peace being dunked on. I am enjoying that. But unfortunately, Free Hong Kong was not available for comment. Neither was Stop the NBA's Talent Sweatshop. The whole situation is extraordinarily bizarre and pretty off-putting, frankly, because why do you want to be hit over the head with politics in the middle of watching an NBA game? Doesn't mean that athletes can't speak out about these topics. They have every right to speak out about the topics. But if we are supposed to agree with them in order to watch the game, then no. Then no. And meanwhile, Charles Barkley came under fire for making the utterly uncontroversial statement that if you don't kneel, you're not a bad person. It's funny how this has turned from if you kneel, you're doing something wrong, to if you don't kneel, you're doing something wrong. Here was Charles Barkley pointing out that when you kneel for the anthem, maybe some people find that disrespectful.
My thing is, listen, the national anthem means different things to different people. I'm glad these guys are all unified. But if people don't kneel, they're not a bad person. I want to make that perfectly clear. I'm glad they had unity. But if we have a guy who doesn't want to kneel because the anthem means something to him, he should not.
Okay, but he got ripped up and down for this. Obviously, you must be forced to kneel. It's very important that we be forced to kneel, according to our purveyors of popular culture. Speaking of which, CNN has embraced a new term of journalistic art. I kind of like this one. So CNN has decided women no longer exist. This is a headline at CNN. You ready? Individuals with a cervix are now recommended to start cervical cancer screening at 25 and continue through age 65. So ladies, how do you like that? In that hot, you are now individuals with a cervix. Do you feel respected? Do you feel respected? Producer Katie, do you feel very respected that you are now an individual with a cervix? It's pretty exciting stuff. I think everybody is very excited about their newfound status as individuals with body parts. Pretty fantastic. Women no longer exist in the name of sexual equality. Well done, everyone. By the way, this is actually incredibly stupid because what if you are a woman who doesn't know much about your own biology and you don't know what you need to do to go to the doctor? You just think, how many women are going to identify as individuals with the cervix? I assume most, but some will probably be like, I don't know what we're talking about here. Like, woman is a much more identifiable term, is it not? But I just love the downgrade of women are now individuals with the cervix. So that is exciting stuff. Well done, everybody. Yes, we are getting stupider by the day. America becoming dumber. And meanwhile, the Trump campaign has temporarily halted its ad spending. You know, it's amazing. You know, when President Trump came out and he suggested delaying the election, which was a horrible thing to do, horrible for a variety of reasons. One, unconstitutional. Two, if any president suggests delaying an election for political purposes, it appears fascistic and tyrannical. Three, if you're the president of the United States and you are urging people to open schools, why are you simultaneously urging a delay in the election? You can't do that. You can't say open the businesses, open the schools, also let's delay the election. It just it adds to the level of panic that's already sort of floating around in American society. But now the Trump campaign has temporarily halted its campaign spending over the next few days. According to CNN, the decision comes after the campaign demoted Brad Parscale and elevated Bill Stepien. A senior campaign official said, with the leadership change in the campaign, there's understandably a review and fine-tuning of the campaign strategy. We'll be back on the air shortly, even more forcefully exposing Joe Biden as a puppet of the radical left wing. The Trump campaign has often highlighted their ongoing media campaign. They've already dumped hundreds of millions of bucks into TV and digital ads in battleground states. But now they're going to have to try and shift strategy. And they have to, I mean, let's be frank about this. They need to shift strategy. The poll numbers right now are bad. Now, Rasmussen does have a poll out showing that Trump is actually over water in approval, that he is now at 50% approval. But he is the outlier, is that Rasmussen poll. The latest Real Clear Politics poll average nationally has Joe Biden up 8 points. There is apparently like a mild, slight decrease in Biden's lead. There's an IBD TIPP poll that came out a couple days ago showing Biden up 7. There's an Economist poll same day showing Biden up 9. Rasmussen, even with their uptick in Trump's approval rating, still has Biden up 6. In fact, over the past several months, there's a grand total of one poll since February. One poll since February showing Trump up in the national race. One. So none of that is good news for President Trump. So obviously a change of pace is necessary here. Also worth noting, the Senate is in serious trouble. Right now, the Senate races look real bad for Republicans. Democrats are leading in the polling in Maine. So that would be Susan Collins' seat. In North Carolina, that's Tom Tillis' seat. In Iowa, that's Joni Ernst's seat. That is a toss-up, basically. In Arizona, that's Martha McSally's seat. So it could get very ugly for Republicans very quickly if President Trump doesn't turn it around. That requires that he be a little bit more focused. When I say a little bit, I mean a lot more focused. That means how about we focus in on the unrest that you are attempting to shut down and not focus in on, for example, delaying the election. Trump tried to walk it back yesterday. He tweeted out that when he was talking about delaying the election, he really was just trying to direct your attention toward mail-in voting. He said, glad I was able to get the very dishonest, lamestream media to finally start talking about the risks to our democracy from dangerous universal mail-in voting, not absentee voting, which I totally support. Okay, well, here's the thing. If you want to bring attention to mail-in voting, it ain't that hard. There's actually a really good report done by local TV in Pennsylvania about mail-in voting. Here's what it sounded like.
We decided to test it, sending 100 mock ballots, simulating 100 voters from locations all across Philadelphia to a P.O. box we set up to represent a local election office. A couple days later, we mailed 100 more using the same size envelopes and the same class of mail as real ballots here. To approximate the weight, we even folded mock votes into every one. In the following week, we checked our P.O. box for the results.
Mail pickup notice, there's more.
When we went to collect everything, though,
anything back there for you?
Nothing?
No.
Most of our votes seemed to be lost.
Whoops. So Trump is not wrong about the difficulties here. And this has been true with mail-in ballots as well. But if you make everything, it's true with absentee ballots as well. I mean, they usually take a long time to count. There's a delay. But when it comes to mail-in voting, I mean, it is going to be a mess. So Trump's not wrong about that. But the suggestion of delaying the election obviously is stupid. Not only is it stupid, it is counterproductive, and it gives Democrats a club to hit him with, which is why I saw Stephen Calabresi, the head of the Federalist Society, which has been very supportive toward President Trump, actually floating impeachment over those comments unless Trump backs down. Of course, Trump was never going to hold by that statement. Trump's just a guy who says a lot of stuff. People wondered why I wasn't harsher on him yesterday, because frankly, I discount virtually everything that Trump says on Twitter. I think that he mouths off. I think he's sitting on the toilet and he's bored and he just tweets things. Now, again, all of that is very foolish because the president of the United States has a lot to run on. So, for example, you know, he was blasting Portland's leadership yesterday. He is right about this. Federal leadership in fighting riots is a good thing. Right? The left has been going nuts. That gives Trump more ground to run to the middle. Instead, he's mouthing off on Twitter, which is a complete waste of time. Here's President Trump yesterday blasting Portland's leadership.
The governor and the mayor, we've been dealing with them, and we think they don't know what they're doing, because this should not have been going on for 60 days. It's not our job, unless in case of emergency, which I consider now to be an emergency, it's not our job to go in and clean out the cities. That's supposed to be done by local law enforcement.
He's right about that, but he also says he is going to send in law enforcement. Mike Pence, by the way, is campaigning with law enforcement. This used to be a pretty 70-30 proposition, campaigning on behalf of law enforcement. Here was the vice president yesterday saying, you know, there are a bunch of people on the Democratic side who keep pretending that law enforcement is the problem. It ain't. It's the solution.
Even Joe Biden said not long ago that well-armed police become the enemy when confronting lawlessness in our streets. Well, I want to assure you, your president knows, this vice president knows, and the overwhelming majority of the American people know that the men and women of law enforcement are the best people in this country. Law enforcement isn't the problem. Law enforcement is the solution.
He is right about this. These are all 70-30 propositions. I said at the very beginning of Trump's tenure, all Democrats had to do was not be crazy and they'd be in pretty good shape. Well, all Trump has to do is not be crazy and he'll be in very good shape, because the Democrats have lost it. They've lost their minds. That means it is incumbent on President Trump to act not crazy. And it's very frustrating because, again, last week was a pretty good week for him. Last week he started doing the pressers again about COVID. His language on COVID has been pretty measured. He's been a lot more solid in these pressers than he has been in the past. And then in the last 3 days, it's like set the work accident clock back to zero. And why? Why? I mean, yesterday, President Trump did his COVID presser. And again, he sounded pretty normal. And then he goes on Twitter and he's mouthing off about random stuff. Here was yesterday, President Trump talking about COVID. He says, you know, let's wear a mask. Let's socially distance. Let's wash our hands. This is all normal, solid stuff. If he just does this, he'll be in much better shape.
And I'm once again urging all Americans to protect the elderly, socially distance, wear a mask when you cannot avoid the crowded places. And if you can, you have to avoid crowded places. It just seems like so many things are taking place in crowded places. We don't want that. And always wash your hands. Wash your hands as often as you can.
Again, this kind of stuff, more of this, less of the random tweeting about how we need to delay the election or some such. It provides all the fodder the Democrats are looking for. And again, I understand that many in the base are enthralled with this sort of stuff. They want to laugh it off. Can't you take a joke? It ain't a joke when you're down 10 points in the polls, when you're taking the Senate with you. At that point, it becomes not a joke. All right, coming up, we're going to be joined by Mike Gonzalez from the Heritage Foundation. He has a brand new book out. We'll get to that momentarily. First, let's talk about the fact that the economy continues to be in real trouble. Yes, we are seeing a V-shaped recovery, but only if people get back to work. And let's be frank, it might be a while before anybody can really get back to work full time, given the upticks in many states and given the amount of fear that is out there in society at large right now. That is why one of the things Congress should be considering is a cut to your payroll tax. That would really jumpstart America's economic recovery, put more of your own money back in your pocket. Let's be real about this. That payroll tax, you ain't going to see it ever again. Okay, if you're my age and you're paying a payroll tax for Social Security, you can kiss that money goodbye. It would be very nice if I could have that money back. I think you'd like it back too. That's why if you want Congress to push a payroll tax cut, please text Ben, that's my name, Ben, to 41490. Sign FreedomWorks' payroll tax holiday petition right now. A payroll tax holiday has been recommended to President Trump by various economists, ranging from Steve Forbes to Art Laffer and Steve Moore. The American people support that plan 3-1. Naturally, the Democrats don't like it because they would like to continue to tax you. Well, spending much more money than they tax away. There is a groundwell of support for some common sense solutions. Be part of the solution rather than the problem. Text Ben to 41490. Help Freedom Works pressure Congress to support that payroll tax holiday. Sign the petition today. Text Ben to 41490. Help out my friends over at Freedom Works. Alrighty, coming up, we'll be joined by Mike Gonzalez from Heritage Foundation. He's got a brand new book. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Are you drowning in IRS tax debt?
I owe the IRS $37,000.
Get ready for a toll-free hotline. Take advantage of new IRS tax forgiveness programs that may protect you from IRS collection agencies. They have the power to garnish your wages, put liens on your property, and levy your bank account. Civic Tax Relief can help protect you from the IRS.
Civic Tax Relief basically represented me against the IRS, and by the time everything was completed, I didn't owe the IRS anything.
Find out about the Fresh Start program that is now available through Civic Tax Relief. Civic Tax Relief's special tax hotline can help you discover all the relief programs available for free.
I would recommend anyone who has a tax problem to contact Civic Tax Relief.
Just call 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908. Don't wait. Call now. 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published?
Dr. Farrell in Palisadero is now making dental work more affordable by offering a Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership. The Dental Discount Savings Plan is simple, straightforward, and includes 20% off all treatment, such as emergency limited exams, restorative work, fillings, crowns, partials, bridges, dentures, and periodontal treatment, a comprehensive exam, oral cancer screening, a TMJ exam, a periodic exam, and two sets of x-rays, along with cleaning and two fluoride treatments. The program is a discount plan, not a dental insurance plan, and is only available at the office of Dr. Farrell. The Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership provides immediate eligibility. No yearly maximum, no deductibles, no claims to submit, no limitations for pre-existing treatment, and no waiting periods. Children on the plan must be 15 years or younger. Some restrictions apply. Membership prices may vary. Contact Dr. Farrell, located at 9461 Deschutes Road, Suite 2 in Palisadero. Call 547-57 to make an appointment today. That's 547-5757.
Number one. Make sure your kids wash their hands for 20 seconds after they've coughed or sneezed or been outside.
Two.
Virtual play dates, social and physical distancing can help save lives.
Three.
Tell them they're safe and show your love and pride. Yes, we'll get through this together.
Find out more at coronavirus.gov. A message from the CDC and the Ad Council.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Joining us on the line is Mike Gonzalez, senior fellow at the Heritage Foundation and author of the brand new book, The Plot to Change America, How Identity Politics is Dividing the Land of the Free. Mike, great to talk to you.
Ben, it's my pleasure to be on with you. Thank you very much.
So let's talk about your book. Obviously, it could not be more timely. We are watching identity politics completely destroy the country. There's a great CNN headline today suggesting that women were actually just individuals with a cervix. So how exactly do you think that a country is going to survive when we have decided not to treat each other as individuals at all, but treat each other as members of identity groups?
Well, I will say that when you and I decided last year to sit down and write books on this issue, little did we know that the summer of 2020 was going to happen. My book is doing very well. I assume yours is doing even better. But it's for reasons that neither you nor I really like, I think. We're seeing this issue of identity politics. The consequences is the summer of 2020. You take a nation, you divide it into groups based on race, ethnicity, sex, sexual orientation, and so forth, characteristics that are pretty immutable, and you filled the members with grievances and resentment, and something bad will happen. And this is what we're seeing right now. I do think that there is a way out. I do have solutions. But the first step, and the reason I wrote this book, The Plot to Change America, is to draw attention to this, to tell Americans, this is what has happened to your country. This is how it happened. This is who did it, why, and how we can get out.
So, Mike, where exactly did this come from? I know on the show we've talked about identity politics and its sort of origins, but what exactly is identity politics, and where did the concept begin?
Well, the concept, as you know, started with Gramsci, the leader of the Communist Party in Italy in the 1920s. The fascists sent him to prison so his brain will stop working. That is a very bad idea, as we know from the example of the Apostle Paul and everyone else. You have a lot of time to think in prison. So he writes a book called Prison Diaries, in which he says, look, Marx promised revolutions, but they have all failed except for one in one backwater place called Russia in 1917. The reason is the worker is too contented. The worker has bought into the givens of the oppressor. He's bought into the idea of the family, the religion, the economic system. And we have to change the way he thinks through consciousness-raising exercises. We need to remove the hegemonic narrative. The hegemonic narrative to you and me and the normal people who are listening to this show is the American dream, right? The American dream that has produced so much prosperity and liberty. But to the left, that has produced inequality. So we have to remove that and change the way people think about this through consciousness raising. Identity politics is the playing out of that. Obviously, later came Marcuse, who changed. So Gramsci changes Marxism from economics to culture. Marcuse then also, now he's here in the United States, he's also despairing just the way Gramsci did, but he says the American worker is really content, he's never going to rebel, but he's noticing the riots. He says, if we create identity groups based on race, these groups will be the ones who will carry out the revolution. So this is how it begins. This is the reason why I call it The Plot to Change America. There are no Thursday night meetings in a basement, but it is people reading the same text, the same critical theory text.
So, Mike, what is the end goal here? Because it seems like this is a pretty good way of tearing down a system, is identity politics, you know, dividing people by race and then aggregating them against the system. But how do you form a new system when everybody is now divided into tribal identity? I understand that this sort of Marxist theory here, the critical race theory that suggests that there will be a sort of cross-racial new man founded, but I'm not seeing it. Once the tribalism takes over, it seems pretty difficult to build a socialist utopia on the basis of tribalism.
Well, they do think that it will be through the process of group dynamic and group interaction, and people are, you know, belong to collectives. It's not only really the individual that matters, but it is the identity collective who will do, you know, bargaining. Peter Thiel, who wrote a good book on this in the 1990s, he said the inevitable disagreements, the inevitable problems that will come up between groups will always be resolved in a manner that best helps the left. It will always be the most leftist solution when a group has an inevitable problem with another group. Obviously, it doesn't work. And that is the reason why I'm optimistic. It's because Marxists tried to do the impossible, right? They tried to change human nature. You know that human nature is unchangeable. You go to the Old Testament and you read about Abraham and Sarah and Moses, and we see ourselves in them. They're the same people as us. Human nature hasn't changed in thousands of years. So when the Marxists fail to change human nature, they must fall upon coercion and violence. They must fall upon cancel culture and all the things we see today. But I think Americans are too attached to liberty to really put up with this.
So, Mike, I know that I'm hopeful, too, that Americans will react against a lot of this stuff. But it does feel like there's not a lot standing in the way of it right now. There are some folks on sort of the liberal left who have decided to fight back against the cancel culture, which is largely rooted in identity politics. But it seems dubious to me that Joe Biden is going to stand up to this in any real way. He was elected in the primaries basically in order to stand up to a lot of this. But not only is he failing to stand up to it, it seems like he's empowering it. What do you make of Joe Biden's candidacy, which is so split along these lines?
You know, I don't want to get into politics, obviously, but I will address one part of what you said, and that is, yes, I think I take great heart from the fact that so many liberals are joining our cause. Steven Pinker, you know, Barry Weiss, you know, Andrew Sullivan, Dave Rubin, these people don't agree with me on many things. They don't agree with me on abortion. They don't agree with me on social issues, but they do agree with me on this. So I think You know, the left is fond of saying this year is going to be an inflection year. I think it is an inflection year because Americans are waking up, seeing what is happening in Portland, even though CNN is not putting it on TV, even though the networks are not putting it on TV. People are seeing what is happening and saying, maybe what we have been doing has not been such a great thing. Maybe teaching our kids that their system is no good and needs to be replaced wholesale and transformed wholesale is not the best way to approach this. I, in my own humble way, just as you have done with your book, I wrote my book, The Plot to Change America, in order to shed light on this, to bring attention to it. I should say, by the way, that somebody you know, Michael Knowles, is going to be with me on Tuesday at 11:15. And for the launch of the book, and I'm really very much looking forward to that. People can go to heritage.org and sign up, do the RSVP on that.
Well, Mike, I'm sorry for you. I'm glad that you're going to – I hope that you enjoy the time with Michael more than we've ever enjoyed any time with Michael, but it should be a great event, so go check that out. The book is The Plot to Change America, How Identity Politics is Dividing the Land of the Free. Mike Gonzalez of Heritage Foundation, really appreciate the time. And good luck with the book.
Thank you very much, Ben. Thank you. Great book. Congratulations on your book.
Hey, thanks so much. Well, we will be back here next week. And speaking of my book, while you're at it, don't just pick up Mike's book. Pick up a copy of mine, Soaring Up the Bestseller Charts, How to Destroy America in 3 Easy Steps. Have a nice, wonderful, easy weekend. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. A federal appeals court overturned the death sentence of Dzhokhar Tsarnaev, the man convicted in the 2013 Boston Marathon bombing.
The 3-judge panel of the first U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in Boston sided with Dzhokhar Tsarnaev's lawyers. They had argued that intense media coverage had made it impossible to have a fair trial in the city and pointed to social media posts from 2 jurors suggesting they harbored strong opinions even before the trial started. The 2013 attack killed 3 people and injured more than 260 others. Tsarnaev was convicted on 30 charges, including conspiracy and use of a weapon of mass destruction. His brother Tamerlan Tsarnaev was killed in a gun battle with police days after the pair detonated 2 bombs near the marathon finish line. I'm Ben Thomas.
TikTok could be a thing of the past. President Trump saying he'll take action as soon as Saturday to ban the popular Chinese app from the U.S. Lawmakers raising intelligence and privacy concerns about the company's ownership. A 5-4 Supreme Court ruling allows border wall funding to continue with Pentagon funds.
A year ago, the Supreme Court had issued a stay over lower court orders which had ruled against the administration's power to transfer funding not specifically appropriated by Congress to fund the border wall, one of the bitter political disputes which had led to the extended government shutdown over the holidays into the new year. This new ruling declines to lift that stay while legal challenges to the wall continue. The decision allows more than $6 billion to finance wall construction along the U.S.-Mexico border, an amount that includes the $2.5 billion from the President's February 2019 National Emergency Declaration and a subsequent transfer of $3.6 billion. George Bonzani reporting.
Hurricane warnings posted for parts of the Florida East Coast. News and analysis at townhall.com.
Progressive Motorcycle presents Road Wisdom from the Motor.
Half man, half motorcycle.
To find your balance, keep riding. And if you stop, put your feet down
so you don't fall.
Progressive Motorcycle also presents Roadside Assistance. Progressive Motorcycle for those who were born to ride. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Hey, Mike, how's the house coming along?
Needs a ton of work. The pipes are leaking. Needs a new roof. The AC just broke. I just don't have time to do it all myself. You know anyone?
Oh, just ask Home Advisor. They match you with the best local pros for any home project.
Cool.
Yeah, you can read reviews and book appointments online.
What's it cost?
Actually, Home Advisor is always free to use.
Nice. I'll check it out.
Go to HomeAdvisor.com or download the free app.
Home Advisor.
The economy of the 19-country Eurozone shrank by a devastating 12.1% during the second quarter from the quarter before as coronavirus lockdowns froze business and consumer activity.
France, Italy and Spain are reporting precipitous contractions for their coronavirus-battered economies, with the pandemic wiping out years of growth in a matter of weeks as the lockdowns closed shops, factories and restaurants. As an example, the Spanish economy shrunk by 18.5% in the April-June period, while the French economy nearly 14% and Italy over 12%. The Spanish contraction is by far the sharpest slump since the country's national agency began collecting data. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
Pharma giants GlaxoSmithKline and Sanofi Pasteur announcing they'll supply 100 million doses of the COVID-19 vaccine. More at townhall.com. Airlines continue to worry about their bottom line.
Spirit Airlines has warned up to 30% of its employees that they will lose their jobs in October. And regional carrier ExpressJet's future is in doubt after losing a key contract as the virus pandemic continues to hammer the airline industry. Spirit is the latest airline to deliver layoff warnings to employees, which are required by federal law 60 days before large-scale job cuts. Earlier in July, United Airlines issued layoff warnings for 36,000 employees, and it warned pilots this week of possible additional job losses this year and next year. Keith Peters reporting.
Dunkin' Donuts expects to close some 800 low-performing stores in the U.S. this year. They originally planned to close 450 at their Speedway gas stations, but now the company will add another 450 stores to that list. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
For many people, their faith, their family, and their health are the most important things in their lives. Every day, the work that I do influences these things. Children go to college, couples move into their first home, people retire, businesses start, and charities are supported. All of this in part because of the work I do. I can make complicated things clearer so people understand them. I can solve problems and find solutions. People need someone to put their interests first. And for many people, I am that someone. I can lend an ear, stand with you during life's ups and downs, and provide that advice at just the right time. That's why I love my job. That's why I'm a financial advisor, Susan Eastman, with Wells Fargo Advisors in Redding, California, 243-7561. Once again, this is Susan Eastman with Wells Fargo Advisors. I'd love to be your financial advisor. Please give me a call at 243-7561.
Meet animals like Sweet Pea the Skunk and Spike the Porcupine at Turtle Bay Exploration Park's animal programs every weekend at 2 p.m. Stop by on Friday for an animal spotlight.
Visit on Saturdays for the indoor animal show where animals fly, crawl, or walk on by. Or visit on Sundays and get led through the park, weather permitting, in Turtle Bay's Animal Parade.
Fun for all ages every weekend at 2 p.m. Animal programs are free for members and included with admission. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Smart people know it. Stupid people may not know it.
Always a distinct possibility, and that's why I guess the news media doesn't know it. Well, happy Friday to the extent that that's possible today. And it is possible. It is always possible. Slightly heavier lift some days than others, of course. President Trump, and we talked about it as basically, as soon as he tweeted it out yesterday, the delay the election tweet went over like the Hindenburg, for the most part. It did, as I was discussing yesterday, draw attention to and put a spotlight on the many irregularities that have been discovered, uncovered, realized as a result of mail-in balloting and an increased reliance of late on said practice. And Paterson, New Jersey, where who knows how many ballots have disqualified. They had 19% of the ballots disqualified. In New York City, where Carolyn Maloney still doesn't know whether she won her primary, that was 5 weeks ago, because they're still counting, and this is the chaos, this is the pandemonium, the anarchy that the Democrat Party is gleefully inflicting upon just one narrow area of our lives, our political lives, and that's Election Day. It's kind of an important one. They've been working to undermine our confidence in our public institutions for a long, long time now, and they're doing a heck of a job, really, aren't they? Heck of a job, Brownie, and it's truly extraordinary. I have a number of articles with me today that I wish to share with you having to do with the many irregularities and red flags having to do with mail-in balloting, and I've been playing the audio of Joe Scarborough and Eugene Robinson from the Washington Post talking about how you just shouldn't expect this year's election to be like a normal Western election, because the Wuhan Red Death loosed on the planet by the Chinese Communist Party, who lied about it, and the World Health Organization, who lied about it, and now we have the Wuhan Red Death loose on the planet. So everything has to change. We can never go back to normal, you know. This is this we can never go back to normal thing is being pushed mostly by people who didn't like normal in the first place, because for the most part they're not normal, and normal doesn't suit them very well. Abnormal suits them a little better. Also, there was the funeral, the final funeral in Atlanta, Georgia yesterday for Congressman John Lewis, the civil rights leader from the real deal days of civil rights, not when the big issue was whether students can use student IDs on election day, even when they don't have to show IDs. The Democrats stir up all kinds of trouble about all kinds of things, and Barack Obama really proved what he was made of yesterday, politicizing. And I was watching the funeral to the extent that I could, and I watched a great deal of it, perhaps not 100%, but close. And I was kind of pleased by a lot of what I saw. I thought there were actual tributes, and they were honoring the man John Lewis and talking about the real deal civil rights movement, when the Democrats like Bull Connor and George Wallace and Orville Faubus, and they're all Democrats. Every damn one of them was a Democrat, just by the way. And in fact, Barack Obama mentioned a couple of them yesterday. A couple of his legacy Democrats, George Wallace and Bull Connor among them. And he's comparing to the police today to Bull Connor. Then they attack the police. It's really the violent mob in the street is not the civil rights movement of the 1950s and the 1960s. But Barack Obama politicized and racialized and polarized and all kinds of eyes. He Martinized and Simonized the debate yesterday, and it was really repugnant. It was appalling. It was not only unpresidential, it was an extension of the violent mob in the street. It was so divisive that it could be considered sickening. And I have a bunch of that audio to share with you today just to demonstrate that point. Also, they had another man, the Reverend James M. Lawson, before Barack Obama spoke, who said some pretty crazy, outrageous things, too, with no sense of irony. But really, Barack Obama, the former president of the United States, showed what he was made of yesterday. And so much of what he said was patently and absurdly false. But at least it was divisive and polarizing and racially combative, because God knows he has no legacy other than the legacy of what we're seeing in the streets of America today. I mean, really, what's Obamacare? That was great. That was a wonderful thing. Other than that, it's Iran getting nuclear weapons with our money. Well, it's not really our money, but he gave it to them. It had been seized money, and he gave them tens of billions of dollars, the world's number one state sponsors of terror. He did pull out of Iraq recklessly and precipitously, allowing for the rise of ISIS as well. Well, he bombed Libya into oblivion and left a failed state in his wake, which is now largely controlled by Al-Qaeda and ISIS. Well, I guess, okay, so the violence in our streets is not his only legacy. He did begin the practice of assassinating American citizens without due process. I don't think President Trump has followed suit, but if he did, I can assure you CNN and the New York Times would not sit on their hands and say that he'd done real good there. It's an amazing thing. He also bombed more countries than any president since World War II. All right, his legacy is more than just the violence in the street and the burning of courthouses and the racial divisions and polarization. He's got a number of things to his hand. And then, of course, there's Obamacare, which is just a nightmare. Extraordinary stuff. And as you know, I picked up the Post today and they had, by the way, we're at 888-630-9625. And we're going to get to those, and I've got audio on those and a bunch of articles, honestly, on the problems with mail-in voting, which, the news media says doesn't exist. out of one side of their mouth, and then the next day when they think everybody's forgotten yesterday's news because they have. There's another story about the disaster that is mail-in voting in Paterson, New Jersey, and in Pennsylvania, in the 12th Congressional District in New York. Pretty much every place you see it being done, you're having to eliminate huge swaths, huge percentages of the vote because of issues, we'll just say, and they are many. They are layered. They are numerous, and they are redundant and repetitive and unnecessarily duplicative. But never mind that. There are many, many examples of the horrors of already, just from this year, mind you, not to mention Jimmy Carter years ago presiding over a commission with James A. Baker III, the former Secretary of State, looking at mail-in voting. And they both discovered, Jimmy Carter, that this was going to be a disaster that would lead to all kinds of problems, and they predicted this years ago. But that's all been swept under the rug by the party. And when I say the party, I mean the Democrat Party, and that means the news media, naturally. Excuse me. And so President Trump on his, and he didn't say he wanted to delay the election, in a tweet, and it was a grenade that really blew things up yesterday, and a little message discipline might go a long way. But the, and really somebody ought to talk to him about this. I keep mentioning this, but we're 94 days to Election Day? I believe 94 days away from Election Day. And it would be nice if there were some focus somewhere on something at some point for more than 2 or 3 minutes. Just because you're running a presidential campaign and all that stuff might be a good idea. But President Trump did not say we ought to delay the election. He did not say he wanted to delay the election. All of the news media reports seem to claim that he said that or just insinuate that he said that by using vague language. And they very rarely get to the point where they quote what he actually tweeted yesterday. Not that it was the best tweet in the world, because it wasn't. But that said, the news media then takes it. You shouldn't really give them the bullets to shoot at you. Just it's a message discipline thing. But I'll get into that. And the president responded yesterday at a press conference. And I do, as I said, have a series of articles that make clear that what the president was shining a light on is a very legitimate problem. His technique might need a little refining, I've got to say. The economy did take an enormous dip yesterday. The Democrats are applauding. They're very happy. That means the news media also, because you're suffering and America's suffering is good for Joe Biden and the Democrat Party, and it's bad for Donald Trump and the news media and the Democrats, but I repeat myself, are fine with all of us suffering as long as it's good for the Democrat Party. Keep in mind, the news media, you may have noticed, they're not laying people off. They're not firing people. They're not downsizing. They're booming in this era. So none of these people are losing their health insurance or their rent money or anything. They're just trying to win the election for the Democrats. That's basically the thing. The NBA started last night, and it was a protest. There was a big protest movement, and then a basketball game broke out. But I didn't stick around that long, nor do I intend to in the near future. Also, the NFL begins this weekend with their protest/season. And I think there may be a lot of people not watching. You know, they're going to have political messages painted in the end zones of every game, every field, every game. Left-wing political messages painted in the end zones of everything. Just amazing. The point has finally been made in Portland, Oregon, proving President Trump right once again. And the Department of Homeland Security struck a deal, a ceasefire, as they're calling it in Washington State, because these lunatic Confederate breakaway pseudo-republics that are run by these lefties. The governor there, who's a nutcase, and of course the mayor in Portland, who is even crazier, maybe, if that's possible. They finally struck a deal with the federal government and decided they're part of the United States of America. They're federal courthouses, federal property under the control of and under the budget of and the protection of the federal government, Federal Protective Service and the Marshal Service. And the state and the city abandoned the federal property, which now looks like the Gaza Strip. And the Democrats are proud of what they've accomplished because they are the pointy end of the spear when it comes to the third world. And they are getting the thin end of the wedge in the United States and pounding it in with alacrity in an effort to third world as a verb the United States of America. And yesterday it turned out that the federal government was able to strike a deal. It's like a foreign government, these Democrat lunatics in Oregon. And they struck a deal where the state police would go in to help the marshals and the Federal Protective Service already there, and always there, there before all the mayhem started more than 2 months ago. And the city police will also be allowed by the mayor to assist in protecting federal property. Now, this proves President Trump's point once again. And again, President Trump's point about mail-in voting is perfectly legitimate. And President Trump's point about federal property in cities, also perfectly legitimate. This proves, you see, the president and Chad Wolf, the acting Secretary of Department of Homeland Security, also yesterday striking a deal with these breakaway Confederate republics, these left-wing loony bins. They said, okay, we'll provide city police, we'll allow the city police to work with the already existing marshals and Federal Protective Service to see to it that a federal courthouse is not burned down like the Alamo with gangs of foreigners overrunning the place. And the state police, the state troopers, will also be allowed to go in. And lo and behold, another story that the news media has been ignoring. Across the street, really, it's about a block away, I think, from the federal courthouse, the Marco Hatfield Courthouse in Portland. There is a park, and the lefties have been living in this park and using it as a staging area to attack. It's literally like a medieval battle. They should be pouring vats of molten lead and embers on the attackers at night, being, you know, because that'd make it more fun, I think. And finally, they cleared out this park, and they're thinking, well, gosh, if we clear out this, all this was known by the feds all along, by the way, and all of it was known by anyone paying attention, like you and like myself, that if the state police and the city of Portland police just did their job, that we wouldn't have had all of this craziness. And the federal, they still call them troops. In fact, some of the not very bright anchors on Fox News are calling them troops as well. They're not, they're federal law enforcement officers, and they're kind of in riot gear because there are riots going on, but they're federal law enforcement officers. And they've been put into this awful situation because of the mayor, Ted Wheeler, and the governor, Governor Brown. And these people are fringe case lunatics. And yesterday they snapped their fingers and said, all right, state police and city police can now do their jobs. And basically it's over, which proves the point. It proves President Trump's point again. Amazing. Also, you want to talk about amazing. You may remember the name Michael Brown. I think we've got to take a break here. But you may remember the name Michael Brown, the 6'5", 295-pound 18-year-old that attacked Officer Darren Wilson in his car in Ferguson, Missouri, after committing a felony strong-arm robbery on a small immigrant man running a mini-mart. He assaulted and attacked Officer Darren Wilson. Well, believe it or not, there is an update. I could hardly believe it, but there is an update. Ferguson, Missouri police officer Darren Wilson, in his life today, absolutely extraordinary. I could hardly believe it, but it's true, and it's coming right up. We're at 888-630-9625. Just a few things we're going to be hitting on. Boy, the Democrat Party has really made life interesting in the United States, haven't they? We'll be right back.
There's only one Chris Plant. The Chris Plant Show.
Whether you're working from home or working on your fitness, you want what you're listening to be what you're listening to, not what your roommates or your family are listening to. Now's the perfect time to get a pair of premium wireless earbuds, and Raycon is the way to go. Raycon started about half the price of other premium brands on the market, and they sound just as amazing. And Raycon's everyday E25 earbuds are their best model yet. You get 6 hours of playtime, seamless Bluetooth pairing, more bass, a more compact design that gives you a comfortable noise-isolating fit, perfect for conference calls, video chats, or binge listening to your favorite radio talk show host. Raycon was founded by Ray J, and celebrities like Cardi B and J.R. Smith have already given Raycons their seal of approval. Now it's your turn to see what all the hype is about. Get 15% off your order at buyraycon.com/plant. That's buyraycon.com/plant for 15% off Raycon wireless earbuds. buyraycon.com/plant.
It's Kohl's Friends and Family Sale with an extra 20% off. Save on Keurig coffee makers. Get twin XL bedding sets for just $47.99. And with 25% off top active brands, save on Under Armour gear for the family. Plus, get limited contact store drive-up. And get a little more for your wallet with Kohl's Cash. Shop Kohl's and Kohl's.com.
20% offer valid July 30th through August 2nd with promo code SHOPFAMILY. 25% off Under Armour valid July 29th through August 9th. Offers and coupons do not apply. Select styles. Some exclusions apply. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
That's what protecting your car could sound like with 303 Touchless Sealant. Just spray on a wet surface, rinse off, and dry. It's the sound of twice the protection as traditional waxes and insane water beading you have to see to believe.
Wait, this is radio, right?
Okay, moving on. 303 Touchless Sealant. Available now at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
The buckets you buy at Ace hold paint, dirt, and debris. But our Children's Miracle Network buckets hold so much more, like dreams, hope, and care for children. Because over the last 29 years, with your help, Ace has raised over $125 million for local CMN hospitals. So stop by your local Ace this weekend to make a $5 donation and get a 5-gallon bucket plus 20% off almost anything that fits inside it. Offer valid on regular price merchandise. Additional exclusions apply. See store for details.
Liberty Mutual Insurance Company helps you customize your renter's insurance so you only pay for what you need. Unlike things you paid for you didn't need, like that much-needed 125-inch flat-screen TV.
It's hurting my eyes a lot.
For your 200-square-foot apartment.
My neck isn't so much stiff as it's completely stuck.
With Liberty Mutual, get customized renter's insurance so you only pay for what you need.
Uh-oh, I'm seeing color splotches.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
Only pay for what you need at libertymutual.com.
Paid for by Tax Advocate Group.
Are you tired of dodging the IRS for back taxes? Are you curious about potential new options available to you because of COVID-19? The coronavirus has forced the government to take extensive actions, making this the most opportunistic time for you to finally restructure or even resolve your tax debt with the IRS. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, have unfiled tax returns, and are experiencing hardships because of the impact of COVID-19, you could qualify for more aggressive resolution plans with the IRS. Tax Advocate Group has specialists ready to help you determine your eligibility for these programs. Act now before it's too late. This could be your best chance to resolve your tax debt. If left unresolved, your debt will continue to accumulate penalties and interest and eventually be subject to serious and punitive collection activity. Call to take advantage of these temporary tax relief options to resolve your tax debt today.
Call 800-555-1212. That's 800-555-1212. Again, 800-555-1212.
If your idea of a big, bold summer is hanging out around the backyard barbecue, I've got a snack that will fit right in. Southern Recipe Small Batch Pork Rinds. Yep, it's a bold-flavored snack that's more craveable than potato chips and the perfect low-carb alternative to breadcrumbs in your favorite recipe. You gotta try the Korean kimchi barbecue, spicy dill, pasilla chili cheese, and blackberry habanero pork rinds. This summer, start your own flavor adventure by downloading our coupon and finding new recipes at porkrinds.com. That's porkrinds.com.
In uncertain times, you can be certain of this. The Salvation Army is serving those most in need with help and hope. Thanks to your donations, the Salvation Army is helping those affected by COVID-19, those who've lost wages, who have no home to retreat to, who need food, help with utilities, and most of all, hope. To see how you can continue to make a difference, visit givewestwood.org, givewestwood.org.
Because the Democrat Party and the left are absolutely fanatically relentless in their pursuit of corruption and destruction, and the Soviet Union has just moved over to the United States to college campuses and high school curricula, they never give up. They never give up because they're like Freddy Krueger or Michael Myers in Halloween. They just keep getting up with a giant knife and coming at your family. Here's the headline, and I wish that I were making this up. This is from last night. ABC News, and it's all over the news. Prosecutor not charging Ferguson officer who killed Michael Brown. Wesley Bell said he could not prove beyond a reasonable doubt a crime had occurred. And you're like, wait a minute, Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri from like 1955, when was that? The former police officer who fatally shot Michael Brown six years ago in Ferguson, Missouri, will not be criminally charged. This is what they're doing to Michael Flynn, General Flynn, too. The St. Louis County prosecutor said Thursday, "This is one of the most difficult things I've ever had to do as an elected official." Wesley, really? Is it 6 years after the fact, after he's been cleared again and again by Eric Holder and everybody? Wesley Bell said at a press conference announcing the fine, independent five-month review. They just, he lost his job, he was bankrupted, he moved to Sweden like Serpico or something. After examining thousands of pages of witness statements, forensic reports, and other evidence, Bell said his office was unable to prove beyond a reasonable doubt, yeah, we already, that committed murder or manslaughter under Missouri law when he shot and killed Brown. You know how many times this has been investigated and he's been... He was elected St. Louis County's first black prosecutor. All that matters to ABC News is his race in 2 years after the event. And the crime was committed by the 6'5", 295-pound, super-stoned 18-year-old who is old enough to be serving in the Marine Corps in Afghanistan. Brown, a black teenager, was unarmed when Wilson, a white police officer, this is kind of what got the whole Black Lives Matter thing going and everything, was killed August 9th, 2014. The incident sparked national protest. Launched Black Lives Matter, too. The U.S. Justice Department declined to prosecute the former officer in March of 2000, citing evidence and witnesses supporting Wilson's claim that Brown attacked him. He was exonerated, and they're still torturing him.
This is the Chris...
Community. A location? A place to live and work? Or is it something more profound? A force deeper than words can describe? Uniting and support each other. No matter the trial or circumstance, we are one. Shasta Regional Medical Center is proud to stand strong with our community through anything when we do it together. Shasta Regional Medical Center. Healing starts here.
Slow down. Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program, chiropractic care, massage and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
You always wanted to finish your degree. Now is the time, and Simpson University is still open. Our adult degree completion program is scant and affordable. We know you are busy, so you can attend classes here in the Reading area or online and finish your bachelor's degree in as little as 12 to 16 months. Our programs are affordable, convenient, and flexible. Classes are to learn more about how to finish your career, go to simpson.edu or 0226-4606.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from stars in the sky to the things that unite. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and much. But now your overworked brain has a chance for deep with Land.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane. Shasta Gas has been in business for 23 years, and my daughter, Karen, has worked here for 22 of those years. She started out driving our big delivery truck, filling tank in 10 degrees in the summer and in the snow in the winter. Many years ago, she moved from delivery work to the office with my wife, Judy. Judy is retired, and now Karen is taking over abilities. To further our commitment to locally owned and family-operated businesses in Shasta County, I'm introducing my daughter Karen to you, so if you call the office and ask for husband Jason, Karen, please say hi.
Hi, this is Karen Wehunt, Chuck's daughter. Since Chuck and Judy are spending more time together outside of the business, my husband Jason and I are here holding down the fort. We are here to answer any questions you may have and to continue the great service our customers have received these many years.
please give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. Tobacco and Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. Tobacco and Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
Don't distance yourself from your goals. At Shasta College, you can earn transfer-ready credits from the comfort of your couch or get job-ready for that high-demand career with convenient, cost-effective classes that work for you. Register now for fall classes. The semester starts August 17th, and now is the perfect time to take control of your future. Visit our website at shastacollege.edu or call 242-7500. Start your tomorrow today at Shasta College.
Now, we all might feel a little disconnected. For seniors living alone with smaller social circles, feelings of loneliness and isolation can feel overwhelming. But there's something we can all do to help. Connect with your older loved one virtually and have the conversation of a lifetime with StoryCorps Connect. Anyone can conduct an interview, and every interview will be archived at the Library of Congress, becoming part of American history. Connect, honor, share at StoryCorpsConnect.org/AARP. A message from AARP, StoryCorps, and the Ad Council.
Yeah, the lie that won't die. Yeah, you know, Michael Brown's family, because he attacked a police officer in his car, tried to strip his gun away from him, committed a felony strong-arm robbery. He was walking to college that day. Remember that? The news media made up all kinds of lies. Michael Brown's family was awarded $1.5 million because their son attacked a police officer and was killed. But he attacked a police officer in his car. That's what Eric H. Holder Jr. found with his team of, how many was it, 50 or 100 FBI agents that went in there? That was like the Kennedy assassination. And they wanted to lynch this guy, and they're still trying to lynch him. They're, years later, they're still trying to lynch him. It's extraordinary. And it was his buddy, Michael Brown's buddy, Dorian Johnson, who said, yeah, Michael Brown had his hands up, and he said, don't shoot. And that was just a complete fabrication, but the media went with it, because they'll believe whatever anti-police, that was Barack Obama was launching the anti-police initiative of the Obama years, which has led to multiple assassinations and mass murders of police officers, which the news media has decided to turn a blind eye to because they're not a legitimate news media. That's a kind of a problem. It is a problem that we have. Extraordinary stuff. Dorian Johnson, yeah, he told the media, yeah, he had his hands up, and he said, don't shoot. And it was a complete fabrication. And the news media didn't believe any of the witnesses there, and they didn't care to even look into it. And honestly, Michael Piercy and I were talking about this, and we agreed that Officer Darren Wilson should get a good lawyer and sue the hell out of, like, Covington Catholic School. Sue all the news media that smeared and slandered him, and maybe get something out of the ordeal. The Washington Post is owned by Dr. Evil, the richest man in the world, and he travels by submarine, lives in a hollowed-out volcano, and it's a horrible, corrupt rag of a paper. They have an obituary today for Herman Cain, who we learned while we were on the air yesterday, died of the Wuhan Red Death of the COVID-19 loosed on the planet by the communists, who then lied about it. And the obituary is, it's not a front page obituary. You have to go to the B section, the Metro section, and it's not on the front page there. It's on page 6 of the B section because he's a Republican, And that's bad because he's black and you can't be a black Republican, or Dr. Evil's little rag will dump all over you. And they had two clowns type up the Democrat Party's version of an obituary by Matt Strudel and Emily Langer. Why do they all sound like they're on the other side in World War II? So many of them do. Pizza CEO briefly topped GOP polls. Now, this is fascinating. And this was pointed out to me this morning, actually, by my best girl, who was reading the newspaper across the couch there. And the first sentence, drawing on his up from poverty story, which they dismiss because he's a Republican, his experience as a pizza chain executive, hey, pizza man, and even his resonant singing voice, Herman Cain launched an unlikely run for the presidency that briefly landed him at the top of the polls for the Republican nomination in early 2012, early in the 2012 campaign. If nominated, this is the second sentence now, he would have been the first black GOP presidential nominee. He wasn't the first black candidate, so they have to narrow that to make it be more anti-Republican, which is what they did here. If nominated, he would have been the first black GOP presidential nominee. Barack Obama was the first Democrat presidential nominee, by the way. But his candidacy soon ran aground amid charges of sexual harassment. That's the second sentence in his obituary, sentence number two. Which reminds me, where's Tara Reid? Because their current candidate for president jammed both of his hands down the front of the pants of one of his staffers on Capitol Hill while pinning her against the wall and violated her with his fingers. And he's their guy. He's also the one who said that the integration, the racial integration of the schools in Delaware where his children were going to school would create a racial jungle. And he didn't want his kids in that jungle, that racial jungle. And that's their candidate for president today. And I know that when Joe Biden dies, and hopefully it'll be a very long time from now, maybe another 100 years, that the second sentence in his obit will be famous for groping staffer Tara Reid and for sniffing and smelling and inappropriately touching women and playing with hair, putting other women's hair in his mouth and embarrassing himself on camera with sexual behavior. And then they'll say that now he's skinny dipping with the angels, and maybe the headline will be Cobra, 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 Joe Biden is gone. Skinny dipping with the angels at long last. Because, you know, Joe Biden, he loves to parade around naked wherever he goes. And that's what, if he becomes president, I assume he'll be naked on Air Force One a lot. He's naked in the vice president's residence. He's naked. He's skinny dipping at the swimming pool at the vice president's residence. He skinny dips and walks around naked at the house in Delaware. Usually when Dr. Jill's not around because, you know, been there, done that. Thanks. Thanks anyway. The sniffer in chief passes from this world. I suspect that the Washington Post will not have that as the second sentence when the groping, sexually assaulting, inappropriate touching, skinny dipping with the angels, Joe Biden passes from this world. And I'm guessing that Tara Reid's name will not even appear because it hasn't appeared. They've erased her from history.
Cobra, Cobra, Cobra.
There it is, Cobra, Cobra, Cobra. That was the Secret Service code word for Joe Biden's walking around naked again.
Cobra, Cobra, Cobra.
And that is something the Washington Post hasn't covered because they're not a news organization. They're a bunch of corrupt Democrats. They're frauds. They're charlatans. They're activists. They're not journalists. And they are among the reasons I had to leave that rotten business and find a way where I could just tell the unvarnished truth. And it is very often unvarnished, isn't it? Sometimes it is. Yeah, but that's Joe Biden. But that's sentence number two on page six of the B section in today's Washington Post in the dripping with contempt obituary for Herman Cain, a great American. But he didn't sing from the sheet music of the Party of the Confederacy, the Klan, and Jim Crow. So he gets a short shrift from the clowns at the Washington Post. Isn't it amazing? All right, there are many stories, many big stories to get to today, and Herman Cain was a great man, and the Washington Post is not a great newspaper. That's a statement of fact. I was just going to go to the phone, and then something funny happened. Let's go to a bit of audio, Michael. Let's go to Let's go to some of the yesterday audio from the big, and that's the call I was going to go to, but the nice lady dropped off there. Let's go to some audio from yesterday's funeral for the civil rights leader and longtime member of Congress, 40 years or something in Congress, and the it was at the Ebenezer Baptist Church in Atlanta, Georgia, Martin Luther King made famous, and there were Barack Obama was there, Bill Clinton was there, he didn't sound real good, George W. Bush was there, he sounded real good, he was great actually, and Bill Clinton sounds like he needs a doctor, and Barack Obama sounds like he needs help of another kind. But it was really something to see. I've got to say, let's actually start with Nancy Pelosi, because this was kind of amusing, a little bit amusing. She is not altogether there either. I mean, with Joe Biden, the elevator isn't operating. With Nancy Pelosi, Nanny State Pelosi, it's just not going to the top floor anymore. And if it did, you'd see it pop up in her eyes. She's a piece of work. She decided to whip out some. Now, there is an ancient language from what is now the Indian subcontinent, as some like to call it, what is now India. The language is known as Sanskrit. Sanskrit. All right. That's the, it's S-K-R-I-T, Sanskrit, an ancient language that you will find was in use going back thousands of years in what is now India and surrounding environs. And Nancy Pelosi decided to whip out a Gandhi thing. You remember Joe Biden said, you got to have an Indian accent to go into any Dunkin' Donuts or 7-Eleven in the state of Delaware. And, of course, Hillary Clinton said that Gandhi is running a gas station down, what was it, in St. Louis or in Missouri? Gandhi's running, and everybody laughed.
I love this quote. It's from Mahatma Gandhi. He ran a gas station down in St. Louis for a couple of years. Mr. Gandhi, you still go to the gas station? A lot of wisdom comes out of that gas station.
Yeah. Yeah, and Biden was, you'd got to have a slight Indian accent to go. I'm serious, he said. I'm serious. You got to have a slight Indian accent to go in any gas station or Dunkin' Donuts or 7-Eleven in the state of Delaware. That's okay because they're Democrats, and they're the party of lynching people for their race, so they can get away with this stuff. Party of slavery and the Confederacy. All right, so Nanny Pelosi yesterday at John Lewis's funeral at the Ebenezer Baptist Church in Atlanta, Georgia, she's whipping out a Sanskrit word as well.
The word satyagraha,
satyagraha
is a word that in Sanskrit means two things.
Two things.
It means nonviolence, and it means insistence on the truth.
Yeah, it means both of those things. Yeah, that's.
And that is what John Lewis was all about.
Yeah, for a Sanskrit word. That's when I was seven, I pronounced it Sanskrit, and then my mother corrected me and said, "No, honey, that's Sanskrit." And I said, "Well, that's kind of a strange pronunciation." She said, "Well, it's not your language. You don't get to choose." That's the way I remember the moment anyway. Now, if President Trump had said Sanskrit and gone out of his way to pronounce it, to articulate it very clearly, and it was wrong, I think that the news media might seize on the Sanskrit moment to point out that it is, in fact, Sanskrit, and it is considered to be sacred by many, and President Trump would have violated cultural norms, and the news media would have been very upset. But since Pelosi had the Sanskrit, and since that Gandhi runs a gas station in St. Louis, and you got to have an Indian accent to go to a 7-Eleven and a Dunkin' Donuts, it's all okay. All right, now, I'll tell you what, Michael, I would like to, because I want to get back to Barack Obama, I'd like to go to the Reverend James Lawson. Let's go to soundbite number 9, if we could. This is the Reverend James Lawson from yesterday at the, and they, you know, they, Barack Obama, really, they didn't, they, this guy, Reverend James Lawson, who's one of the OGs from back in the old days, really, I mean, from the Moses generation, and he's not a young man, this is what really got me going. This is when I started taking notes. I was having kind of a pleasant time watching the ceremony until we got to this part, and then it turns into a frothy Democrat party, let's hate America and make up lies about America and spread them, and it's a funeral for the love of God, not a political rally, but they'd never know the difference, do they? The Reverend James Lawson yesterday at the funeral, James M. Lawson, which was largely honorable until we got to this part, and then Barack Obama really blew the whole thing up.
All the people of the USA determine that we will not be quiet as long as any child dies in the first year of life in the United States.
Irony alert, irony alert. Now, wait a minute. Aren't you the party of abortion? Aren't you the party of 40% of the black population is eliminated in the womb? Aren't you the party of 55 to 60 million abortions? And here's the reverend, and all these reverends support abortion. It's really amazing. That's the men of the cloth, and they represent the black community, and they support killing 40% of the black population in the womb. That never made a lot of sense to me intellectually or morally or ethically or religiously or rationally. Or as a normal human being who's upright, but that's amazing. We can no longer be silent. Silence is violence, you know. Well, no, actually, violence is violence. But you guys are silent about a lot of things that lead to a lot of deaths. But we'll set that aside for the time being, because it was a holy event. And then Reverend James M. Lawson decided to set out after the United States. And, you know, we will never rest. We will never be silent as long as a child dies in the first year of life, says the party of abortion. They should go ask Governor Kuhnman about that over in Virginia. He talks about setting the baby aside if they're born alive in what they call a botched abortion and, you know, choke him to death with their umbilical cord or something if the mother should decide after the fact, you know. So here's the Reverend Lawson on the United States of America and capitalism.
We will not be quiet as long as the largest poverty group in our nation are women and children.
Should be men.
We will not be quiet.
Single mothers.
As long as our nation continues to be the most violent culture in the history of humankind.
Most violent culture in the history of humankind.
We will not be quiet as long as our economy is shaped not by freedom, but by plantation capitalism that continues to cause domination and control rather than access and liberty and equality for all.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, plantation, and the crowd goes wild. I mean, this is now his political speech. It's anti-capitalist, it's anti-American. The United States is the most violent culture in the history of humankind. That is the most patently absurd thing that I've ever heard. The Chinese government is much more violent right now. And then you got the socialists of the 20th century, and these people are all socialists, who murdered more people in a 100-year span than any other group of murderers in the history of humankind. Now, the most violent culture in the history of humankind is socialism. That's the most violent culture in the history of humankind. That's the socialists, the communists, the 20th century. Plantation capitalism. They love the plantation. Democrats ran the plantation. All those crackers were Democrats, and you guys are Democrats. No sense of irony. As long as a child dies in the first year of life, no sense of irony. Wow. Amazing.
The word satyagraha is a word that in Sanskrit.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
It's Kohl's Friends and Family Sale with an extra 20% off. Save on Keurig coffee makers. Get twin XL bedding sets for just $47.99. And with 25% off top active brands, save on Under Armour gear for the family. Plus, get limited contact store drive-up. And get a little more for your wallet with Kohl's Cash. Shop Kohl's and Kohl's.com.
20% offer valid July 30th through August 2nd with promo code SHOPFAMILY. 25% off Under Armour valid July 29th through August 9th. Offers and coupons do not apply. Select styles. Some exclusions apply. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
Hello, this is your apartment. I need some favors from you. Your cat keeps rubbing against the kitchen island, and I can't return the favor. Can you give her extra pets for me? After that, could you bundle your renters and car insurance with Geico? We could save money, and it's easy to do online. And one last thing. Could you leave the TV on during the day? I need to catch up on my soaps.
Geico. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
The buckets you buy at Ace hold paint, dirt, and debris. But our Children's Miracle Network buckets hold so much more, like dreams, hope, and care for children. Because over the last 29 years, with your help, Ace has raised over $125 million for local CMN hospitals. So stop by your local Ace this weekend to make a $5 donation and get a 5-gallon bucket plus 20% off almost anything that fits inside it. Offer valid on regular price merchandise. Additional exclusions apply. See store for details.
It took forever to get the car I really wanted. Now that I got it, I'm doing everything to keep it looking even better than the day I bought it, from the dashboard to the tires. That's why I use 303 Automotive Premium Protectants and Cleaners to keep my baby looking like a show car now and down the road. For my dream car, it's TLC with 303.
Available at most auto parts retailers or visit 303radio.com.
Are you drowning in IRS tax debt? Get ready for a toll-free hotline. Take advantage of new IRS tax forgiveness programs. Call Civic Tax Relief for free information now. Find out about the Fresh Start program that is now available through Civic Tax Relief. Civic Tax Relief's special tax hotline can help you discover all the relief programs you qualify for free. Just call 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
In uncertain times, you can be certain of this. The Salvation Army is serving those most in need with help and hope. Thanks to your donations, the Salvation Army is helping those affected by COVID-19, those who've lost wages, who have no home to retreat to, who need food, help with utilities, and most of all, hope. To see how you can continue to make a difference, visit givewestwood.org, givewestwood.org.
If your idea of a big, bold summer is hanging out around the backyard barbecue, I've got a snack that will fit right in. Southern Recipe Small Batch Pork Rinds. Yep, it's a bold-flavored snack that's more craveable than potato chips and the perfect low-carb alternative to breadcrumbs in your favorite recipe. You got to try the Korean Kimchi Barbecue, Spicy Dill, Pasilla Chili Cheese, and Blackberry Habanero Pork Rinds. This summer, start your own flavor adventure by downloading our coupon and finding new recipes at porkrinds.com. That's porkrinds.com.
The IRS, the world's most aggressive collection agency. They can seize your property, bank account, and garnish your wages. They cause sleepless nights for millions of Americans. Don't be one of them. If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, get protected today. Call 800-312-9970. Coast One Tax Group, protecting your bank, home, and your sleep since 2008. With hundreds of five-star reviews and an A-plus on the Better Business Bureau. Call Coast One Tax Group, 800-312-9970. Stanley from New York owed $93,000. The IRS placed a levy on his bank account. Coast One released the levy and settled with the IRS for $2,000. Mark in Michigan owed $225,000. After Coast One stepped in, Mark walked away paying less than $1,500. Call Coast One now. A 10-minute call can save you up to 93% on your back taxes. Get your fresh start today. That's 800-312-9970.
You may have seen the Godfather movies, fine motion pictures, not representative of the Italian community in America whatsoever. There was a crooked senator in Godfather Part II, Senator Pat Geary, played by a great actor. He was in Apocalypse Now and other things. G.D. Spradlin is the actor's name. Played Senator Pat Geary. He was, I believe, the Nevada senator, and he was playing hardball with Michael Corleone, so Michael arranged for the senator to, wake up in a bed with a butchered hooker in a house of ill repute with photographers there so he could get the senator working for him. And the senator in a later scene was seen in a committee hearing praising the Italian-American community and the Italian people and many of his fine constituents who are Italian-Americans and do not besmirch their names. And I was reminded of Senator Pat Geary in Godfather Part II when I saw Senator Dianne Feinstein yesterday, also in a committee hearing room, talking about the Chinese people and how China is, quote, growing into a respectable nation. China is growing into a respectable nation. This while they're crushing the democracy movement in Hong Kong and arresting pro-democracy people and stealing all their their text messages and listening to their phones, like the Obama administration, you know. And while they've got hundreds of thousands of Muslim Uyghur minorities in prison camps, forced labor, making LeBron James shoes, and they like slavery in the NFL. They take a knee for Black Lives Matter, but Chinese slavery they're all in favor of because it buys fuel for their Gulfstream jets. But the Chinese are stealing intellectual property, hacking into our online efforts to find a vaccine for the disease that they released on the world. And here's Dianne Feinstein, like Senator Pat Geary in The Godfather, praising China, communist China, growing into a respectable nation. I guess they've got pictures of her or something as well. Keeping in mind that she had a Chinese spy working on her staff for about 20 years, I think it was even more than 20 years. The FBI discovered this during the Obama administration, and they went quietly to her and quietly discussed this with her and let her know. Unlike the way they treated the Trump campaign and the Trump White House, the corrupt FBI under J. Edgar Comey and so on, she was sitting on the intelligence community with a Chinese spy on her staff for 20 years. She, San Francisco-based, Chinatown, all that stuff. Her husband, a very, very wealthy man with contracts in China worth tens of millions of dollars. And there is Dianne Feinstein praising China, because they're growing into a very respectable nation. That's, you know, like while the Nazis were building the rail spurs, coming out to praise the National Socialist Workers' Party in Germany. They're waging a low-level war against the United States. They're militarizing islands that are in international waters. Barack Obama didn't lift a finger. They're practicing on blowing up U.S. aircraft carriers. While they're, again, running slave labor camps, forced labor camps, interning hundreds of thousands, you know, the Democrats interned hundreds of thousands of, well, more than 100,000 Japanese Americans during World War II. So I guess it's hard for them to be critical of interning people because they're minorities, since the Democrats have done the same thing themselves. That was after the Confederacy and so on. Hey, Barack Obama, he brought up Jim Crow and a number of other Democrats yesterday at the funeral. He was a disgrace, but at least it was racially divisive and polarizing. I have that audio for you coming up, and some other fun Democrat hijinks as well.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.